Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The beast, the man.
You gotta beat the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another night of Online World of Wrestling Radio. Unlike the previous weeks, we've got a brand new number. It is a toll-free number, which is going to be awesome. 877-588-9877, and we have a dedicated option. We're option one. I don't know why, they just said, hey, you're option one, congratulations. If you're wondering, hey, what's the music tonight? Tonight, in honor of our 10 p.m. guest, former WWE superstar and the man with the longest undefeated streak in the company's history, Tatanka is here tonight. It is 90s night. Everything from 1990 to 1996, out or around about his time with the company. He will be on at 10 o'clock, the Lord willing, 11 o'clock. If you're wondering, hey, who's Tatanka working for these days? He's working for a promotion called Coastal Championship Wrestling, which is based in the South Florida area. Their owner and gentleman who also performs in a tag team called Phi Delta Slam and was also featured on TNA Wrestling as a member of Main Event Mafia Security. He played Sally Boy. Bruno Stassi will be joining us. Also joining us tonight, hopefully, will be some of the members of the Wrestle Talk Radio family, including the Spug guy who is here with us tonight after an interesting evening of WWE programming the last 2 days.
Yesterday was good, man. I liked yesterday.
Absolutely. In a moment, we will be joined by some folks from a blog called In This Very Ring. Sarah and Ari Dygan will be joining us, but unfortunately, I got to take care of a little bit of business. Unfortunately, we had two passings this week, past week. One of the legends of the sport, a gentleman who went under the name of Mr. America, Steve Stanley, passed away in Wisconsin. He passed away earlier this month at the age of 90, and there will be memorial services in Lake Geneva at the end of this month. You can look him up on the Online World of Wrestling Radio to know who he is. Also, midget wrestler Robert Cowboy Bob Bradley passed away a couple weeks ago. He was 75. He had toured Texas with a midget troupe through the 60s and 70s, and retired from wrestling in the early 1970s, and is survived by, wow, a daughter, three brothers, six sisters, three grandchildren, five great-great-grandchildren, many nieces, nephews, great-nieces and nephews as well. We wish his family nothing but the best. And we want to send our best wishes out to former ECW and indie star Chris Hamrick, who apparently, while we were on our show Tuesday night, attempted suicide. Now, this is not something to joke around about. This is something very serious. He posted some strange messages on his Facebook page, including, big announcement tonight, stay tuned, it's to die for. He later followed by, hey world, I just took 25 sleeping pills and good night. He also sent out what was described as unusual text messages to friends. Authorities visited his home in Rutherfordton, North Carolina, to check on his welfare. He says that he's going to be getting help and getting better soon. Now, before we get into main event stars, I got a lot of emails this past week from people around the country because of me living in Florida. And this has to do with a gentleman whose name may sound familiar to some people if you're a fan of Full Impact Pro, Ring of Honor. He's a part of a group called the YRR that Sal Renaro was involved in, Kenny King was involved in. His name is Chasen Rance. He appeared on the third season of Tool Academy on VH1. No, he's not going to be a guest like another show does with all the VH1 people. He, however, was a guest of the folks of the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Orlando, Florida, because he was arrested this past Sunday, charged with lewd or lascivious battery, which in the state of Florida is a second-degree felony. A girl who is now 17 told California police that she was 15 and visited her dad here in Florida. That she apparently in 2008 had two sexual encounters with Chasen, and then the girl's mother read her diary recently and discovered that she had written she had felt bad about some of the things she had done in Orlando. In the diary, she admitted doing some alcohol, smoking the grass, and having intercourse with Mr. Rance, who at the time was 25, in his Orlando home after one of his matches. This is all from the Orlando Sentinel, which is the local paper in that area. It was also on the local NBC, CBS, and other ventures. The mother apparently took stuff to the Santa Clara Valley Sheriff's Office and was told, obviously, she was in the wrong jurisdiction. Her mother then contacted an attorney who appeared at the Orange County Sheriff's Office this past April with the report. Rance apparently was also taped on the phone talking to this girl, saying that he didn't want to do it. He was waiting for the right time. He was going to wait until she was 18. He further told the girl that he didn't think he had forced her to have sex with him and that she was attractive, mature-looking, and apologized for hurting her. So we wish Chasen Rance nothing but the best. Apparently, he bonded out at $3,500 and sparked a truckload of controversy down here on the Florida indie scene with people like Lou Spector taking his side, calling them 15-year-old girl a rat and other stuff that we can't talk about on the air here due to we're a family-oriented show. Speaking of family-oriented shows, we're going to get right into the PG-rated WWE. And we're going to be joined right now by some folks from north of the border. They do have a blog called In This Very Ring. They podcast as well. They have been on the show before, and we welcome them back. Sarah and Ari Deigen are here. Good evening, guys.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
We're doing pretty good. We had a very interesting Sunday and Monday in the world of World Wrestling Entertainment. Your guys' thoughts, instead of running the pay-per-view and doing every match, because we did that Sunday and Tim Stein did a great job of doing it, but give me one match that you guys felt was the pay-per-view stealer, and which was your, you know, honey, I think you need to take the garbage out, let's go do that together match.
Okay. Pay-per-view stealer. I'm actually going to give it a toss-up between the Raw Money in the Bank match. It was really, really good. I didn't necessarily believe Evan, I mean, and he didn't. I didn't believe Evan Bourne was going to win going in, but they actually teased that he would to the point I was surprised when he didn't. The Miz winning was also a surprise, but I think a good one. He's worked hard, and, you know, finally seems to be, that work seems to be paying off.
I think Sarah and I were saying to each other, I think you might have been reading somewhere as well, Mike Mizan is dead.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of, you know, the last vestiges of him sort of just being a reality star, you know, this is his real big shot here.
And then see him coming back out the next night and show why he got this shot. He's on the mic really, really good.
And I was also impressed with, surprisingly impressed with the cage match between Sheamus and John Cena. That, not necessarily a show stealer, but better than I expected it to be.
The weak spots.
The Divas.
Unfortunately, you've got to say, I mean, there weren't that, because you had such long matches, there weren't so many on the card. Not too many to pick from. It was pretty obvious. It's unfortunate because I don't want to sound like I'm knocking women's wrestling generally, but it's the WWE offering, and it's the WWE offering with Beth Phoenix and Mickie James gone.
Although that said, I mean, it was better than some of their previous diva offerings. Like, they're improving, but that's still, you know, it's not. It's not the highlight of the night for either of us.
It's brief. There's nothing particularly remarkable that happens, and we're all waiting for the, you know, absolute explosion cataclysm of, I mean, two Money in the Bank matches and a Hell in a Cell. Sorry, not Hell in a Cell, cage match. Hell in a Cell, I'm sure, is coming. But you know, those couldn't help but be a letdown unless they really. Really pulled out something, you know, an unexpected Trish Stratus-like, which they didn't.
Well, we had talked about it on the recap show on the same network. Wrestle Talk Radio is 10 p.m. unless it's after a pay-per-view, and that's 11 p.m. That Spug, Mace, Omega, Will, myself, we all pretty much felt the same way, Spug, that the Divas matches, yeah, they had to follow some other really good matches, but the girls worked their butts off. That Alicia Fox, Eve Torres match really actually told a good story. Unfortunately, Spug, the crowd was deader than fried chicken, especially coming off of the SmackDown Money in the Bank.
Well, unfortunately for women's wrestling in the WWE over the last 3 years, it's pretty much been porn stars with fake boobs in skin-tight clothing flopping around like they are having seizures and screaming. They took away all the real women's wrestlers. And I'm not even going to call Beth Phoenix a real women's wrestler. You know, you got your Trish, your Mickie James, your Litas, along those lines. They took away what was real women's wrestling in favor of eye candy. And so now, you know, the crowd's desensitized to it. We're like, oh, great, Divas are out. We're out. You know, call us back when the real wrestling starts. And that's an unfortunate problem.
Yeah, I think that we're sort of suffering from that.
I'll admit I'm probably guilty of that. I probably, it's hard to get excited when the crowd's not excited.
And you did comment that Eve Torres and
Alicia Fox.
And Alicia Fox did put on a good match, so.
Yeah, and she has improved. Like I said, I'm one of the few fortunate ones. I got to see her when she was Victoria Crawford here in FCW, and she was like the Bella Twins, kind of looking at the ring going, oh, crap, I got a bump in that thing. Now she's out there being a cocky, confident heel and doing really well. We did have a title change. We had a Money in the Bank winner being the Big Red Machine, Kane, and he took out a pretty interesting group of people, Matt Hardy version, whatever he is, Drew McIntyre, my pick, damn, Dolph Ziggler, Christian, The Big Show, Kofi Kingston, which once again, the Intercontinental Championship was so well defended on a pay-per-view, and Dashing, am I right, he's called Dashing Cody Rhodes now? We're either one of, first to Sarah and Ari, because Spug's kind of given his comments on Russell Talk, but we'll let him give them again here. I was of the opinion the way they did Money in the ended the Rey Mysterio Jack Swagger match was a little. I would have liked it a little differently. That I, in my opinion, and then we'll get yours. Instead of Kane coming out chasing Swagger off, Ray Ray's like, all right, cool, I'm going to the back and chill with the action figures. Then the pyro hits. Kane comes out. I'm an amateur screener by trade. I can't call myself professional till I get one made. My idea would have been leave the briefcase sitting at ringside somewhere. He comes out. He clears the ring. He picks up, you know, pats Ray on the back. Oh, great deal, great deal. Picks him up, choke slams the crap out of him, then signals the timekeeper. He hands him the briefcase. Bing, boom, done. I mean, the guys on WrestleTalk felt differently. What do you guys think the way that they handled getting the belt off of Ray and putting it on Kane?
I just heard it, but I like how you'd book that. That's, I mean, the way he comes in, he's out, he's back in again. I mean, that sounds like, you know, me and my friends, you know, 10 years old putting on a play. I like the unexpected, like you were saying.
Yeah, I'll actually go with that. I mean, I think they did a little bit of the unexpected by having for the first time, somebody cash in the Money in the Bank the same night.
Not that they didn't telegraph that.
But, I mean, exactly. By having a Money in the Bank go on the first slot in the card, it's obvious that's sort of where they were headed. But, yeah, I think they could have made it even more suspenseful if they went with your idea, Alan. I actually do like that.
And Sarah, you pointed out there's maybe a bit of questionable timing of, I mean, the very first Money in the Bank winner to cash in that night, and it's just something that's sort of shoehorned into the middle of the card. I mean, I thought it was a cool enough moment just seeing Kane come back from being buried in the mid card to, hey, he's Mr. Money in the Bank. We have to rush straight to him getting the belt, one. And two, if we're going to do that, we can't even make it something big and momentous at the end of the night. It's, you know, jammed right in the middle before two other bigger matches that are going to bury it.
Well, we had talked about it on WrestleTalk, and I can't remember if it was Will or Omega that had disagreed with my view of it. He felt that the way it was done was great, that it was the shock and awe moment, and you were witness to the pay-per-view, Spug. If you're booking it right, did they put Kane over properly in, hold on, I gotta run all the way back to the locker room, okay, now do my cool pyro, and now I come out and destroy somebody? How would you have booked it this way or booked it another way?
Watching it, and Alan, you and I have both been in the industry for a while, so you know how things go. If something's happening out in the ring that's not supposed to, or it's taking too long, they send somebody out from the back to clear it up real quick. And unfortunately, I think that's what happened. And unfortunately, the guy who was supposed to come out and next steal this, you know, take the spotlight was, you know, the guy who happened to be right there, and that was Kane. However, I would book it the exact same way they booked it. I'm not saying I'd have Kane run out, shoo Swagger out of the ring, and then come back, but, you know, Kane's entire career has been defined by shock and awe moments. Think about that.
Well, he debuted, so, yeah, I know you're about where you're about to go, sorry.
His debut was at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in 97.
Yes,
when
sir.
Shawn Michaels and Undertaker were going at it, and he ripped the door right off a cell. So he's always been his whole gimmick has kind of been shock and awe and spur of the moment and do that sort of thing. So it fit perfectly into his gimmick, and I have no problem with the way they did it, you know?
Oof.
And when people, just to Ari's comment, he didn't get buried in the mid-card status. Kane was there by choice. A lot of people don't know this or care to forget the fact. Kane comes on a local morning show here in Cleveland quite often and talks to the host and interviews with the host quite often. And they were talking about that, I want to say like last summer. And Kane said, pay attention, you're going to see a lot more of me. And the host said, well, why is that? And Kane said, well, now that the oldest of my wife and I's children has graduated high school, I'm allowed to go back out on the road more often.
Huh.
Kane took that spot in the mid-card so he could be home with his wife and his wife's children more.
Wow.
He was happy there, and his wife told him that once they were grown and out, go on, go have fun.
That's amazing. That's pretty heartwarming to hear a performer do something like that. And we've obviously, this is obvious that he's only going to be the belt holder possibly at SummerSlam, because the next obvious step here is here comes Taker. Taker is going to be, I mean, it's obvious at least to the average person. I don't know if it's this audience here, but flashback to the SummerSlam that Triple H's character mowed down Shawn Michaels, and it was revealed originally. This is the same storyline from, I think it was SummerSlam 2002 in Nassau Coliseum, that, you know, it's a rehash. Obviously, we're going to all of a sudden go, oh, my God, Kane took out his own brother to get there. We almost saw The Miz take out Sheamus last night with the world title, guys. And of all the people to stop it was the Raw GM, who says, oh, no, wait, Sheamus has to wrestle Evan Bourne, and had another pretty good match with Evan Bourne. Surprisingly, the Raw GM hasn't interrupted as much lately. To Sarah and Eric, they haven't been on the show in a while, and we've kind of shredded this character to death. What are your thoughts on this whole mystery GM, especially the teasing of 1 week he was Stone Cold Steve Austin, the next week they're pulling Roddy Piper lines out? Are you guys fans of this anonymous GM?
I won't speak for Ari. I was definitely a fan of the concept. I think it works better, as you were saying, when they're not interrupting things as much. There were definitely a couple of weeks there where the whole process of you hear the little email notification, Michael Cole goes to the podium,
I was complaining about this on our show couple of times. It's a ponderous.
Basically,
Michael Cole wander on over.
Basically, it had potential. I don't think it's living up to its potential. The main way they can save it now is with whoever it actually is. There will hopefully be a payoff with that.
I think, like you were saying, they've improved it a bit, partly by, you know, pulling back. There are just one or two interruptions, so the whole show isn't hearing an email beep and listening to somebody read from a screen. So it's just, you know, one or two key interruptions. And also they're getting Michael Cole to move it along a little bit. So it's, I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's serving its dramatic purpose without chewing the scenery so much. So there, I'm still keeping,
it's improving, and depending on who it is, it could still be good, but has been tedious. Yeah.
I'm still keeping an open mind. It certainly felt less tedious last night. And, this is at least something we were saying, that I don't think we've seen anything quite like this before, so it's at least sort of original.
At least recently.
Yeah.
877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio with Sarah and Ari Dagan from this very ring blog. Spoke from Us Talk Radio is who it is. SummerSlam's not even until August 15th, and they've already set up two matches of this pay-per-view. The show opened, surprisingly, Monday Night Raw opened, and I nearly dropped my bowl of ice cream onto the floor when I was like, look at that. My wife comes in, what? I said, there's wrestling. She's like, yeah, you're watching. I said, no, they opened the show with a wrestling match. Randy Orton is once again, for the 33rd time, your number one contender, taking out Edge and Chris Jericho. He will now face Sheamus at SummerSlam. The other match, I'm guessing is a match, because it wasn't actually said, but John Cena did his woe is me, I'm not the champ thing, came out, I'm going to make peace with the Nexus, I'm not going to make peace with the Nexus. In fact, forget your peace, I was hoping you'd say you wanted to kick my butt, because I have some friends with me. So it looks like, guys, at SummerSlam, we're going to have a 7-on-7 match, all the members of the Nexus versus, this has got to be a super, super team in recent memory. I don't think we've ever seen even a Survivor Series team this powerful. You've got John Cena, Edge, John Morrison, Kate Crush, Kate Quick, Ron the Truth Killings, whatever he's called, R-Truth. You've also got the Great Khali, Chris Jericho, and wait for it. That's right, Bret the Hitman Hart is back. So I guess Lords of London said, all right, go ahead, go for it. Are you happy with this match, Spug, or are you sitting there going, why didn't they save this till a Survivor Series or later on in the summer, in the fall, let it build some more? Because does this feel like they're killing off Nexus already?
Oh, I don't think they're killing off Nexus at all. I don't think they're killing off Nexus at all. You think about it. The NWO storyline got to be the best back in the mid-90s when they had somebody to fight against.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, forever and ever, they picked on Sting and picked on Sting and picked on Sting and picked on Sting. And randomly, they would attack other people. And finally, Sting said, all right, I've had enough. And I believe he formed a super team, too, and they went at it with the NWO. So, you know, every good villain, every great villain has to have a good guy to go up against. Batman would be nothing without the Joker, and so on and so forth. So, for this storyline to be successful, they've got to have somebody good, you know, to play the protagonist. And to get guys mm-hmm. like Hart and Cena and whatnot, I'm all for. Just me personally, though, I would have rather have heard Motorhead instead of Bret Hart's music.
Well, he's another, what, couple months away. He, obviously, if you don't know the music, he's referring to Triple H, who I believe is another month or two away with a neck injury or something. To Sarah and Ari, oh, go ahead, Spug, I'm sorry.
Get it right. Get it right. It's not just Triple H. It is the King of Kings.
King of Kings, Cerebral Assassin, the game.
You speak of my husband properly, sir.
Yes, sir, I got it. So Sarah and Ari, are you enjoying this Nexus thing, especially now that you're seeing the banding of heels and faces finally getting together to go, you know what, Nexus, we're sick of you coming back. I mean, because the last couple of weeks, all the Nexus has done is, okay, you wronged us. We'll gang up on you in the locker room and beat you up. And, yeah, they're like a high school gang picking on one person, but maybe is Spug right that this is great that at least now you're going to see the WWE stars merge to fight these guys?
I guess on my end, it's one of those things, I hate to sit on the fence, but again, wait and see. It's a storyline that we've seen before from almost any angle you look at it, be it, you know, the heel faction end, be it the sort of young guys versus the veterans. We've seen it work, we've seen it not so much work. It all depends on the execution. I think so far it's been okay. I think everyone's been playing their roles well, and it's been interesting. It's probably the first thing, honestly, that I've been interested in on Raw since, like, you know, Shawn Michaels retired and Triple H
There's
went off injured.
There's a good sign there, yeah. But I was actually thinking in the middle of last night, amid the intrigues of, I mean, The Miz almost cashing in on Sheamus and Randy Orton having number one contendership, and the intrigues of, okay, you've got all these enemies for the title, but they're all sort of going up against the Nexus. I was actually thinking, hey, I don't miss Triple H. I mean, that's not to be mean to Triple H.
Down, Spug, down. Calm down.
No, I am. That's not to say I was actually when they were waiting for that
we're
one.
We're fans. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Is we are fans.
And I mean, for a while there, for you know, quite a while, I was thinking, man. I mean, between you know, the Undertaker being out, and between Shawn Michaels retiring and Triple H being out,
what have they got?
Yeah, they're really thinning out. And I was thinking, it feels like they've come back. No, I was also hoping that the final member of the anti-Nexus team would be Triple H. That would sort of seem like the capper and a great time to come back. But I didn't know what his rehab schedule was. But no, I find that the Nexus sort of being this background to the usual, you know, fighting around, you know, respect and the title, you know, the usual things plus the Nexus.
It's very early NWO. We just sort of hope that they keep it at that level as opposed to going the way the NWO ended up going.
There are a lot of interwoven threads. It's not all just, you know, several individual, straight-ahead, simple storylines.
I mean, hey,
and I
to
find
see,
that more interesting.
Hey, to see John Cena, Edge, and Chris Jericho standing on the same team, that in itself is you know, not necessarily expected.
Exactly. So I'm saying so far, so good. I like that they're, you know, moving somewhere with it a little more now since, like Sarah said, the last couple weeks before, it was just, okay, let's see who they're going to beat up now.
Right. You guys mentioned John Cena. Before we let you guys go and promote your items, we want to promote something. I'm not really a big fan of WWE pimping charities, but I want to pimp this one. If you're a fan of John Cena, go to 7-Eleven. You can buy a coffee cup that has John Cena on it, and all the proceeds from your purchase will go to one of the most awesome charities in the world, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which I believe, if I read it right somewhere, he is the most requested person in that organization's history. He was even more requested than the immortal Hulk Hogan, who we'll address later on in the show. Before you guys go, pub your stuff, please. Tell them about your very wonderful area online.
Yeah, you can find us blogging and podcasting at inthisveryring.blogspot.com. Have a Facebook group for it as well, which you're more than welcome to join, and check it out.
All right, on that note, we want to thank Sarah and Ari for joining us here. They will be back usually after a WWE pay-per-view. to join us and break down that on the following Monday Night Raw. So we want to thank you guys for coming on. We really appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Alrighty. On the way out, we'll be back with some TNA talk, including, yes, they're here! I'm tired. We don't have to listen to Abyss say anymore. They're here! They showed up. Collective Soul's going to take us out here on All My World of Wrestling Radio.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry. Janice
Michelle. Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Over the past year, WrestleTalk Radio has held many great debates. We have determined who's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
Remember this! Nobody beats Mr. Perfect!
And even the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
I can't understand. Stop it right now.
Starting July 4th, WrestleTalk Radio goes down south to find the all-time greatest WCW champion. It's the WTR Great Debate. Hear how it goes down every Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now bring mine up on it!
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio. It's not a 888 anymore. It's 877-588-9877. Option 1 is the way to join us here on the show. I am Alan Wojcik. Thank you once again for joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Excuse me.
Just let that play, by the way. Just let that play.
You want to let it play instead of talking about TNA? Okay.
No. I want to talk about TNA, but just let this song play for a couple of minutes, because that probably is one of the best Beastie Boys songs ever. And they had some good songs. Brass Monkey, Paul Revere.
Oh, yeah. No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah, they had great songs. But
they still do. I saw them on their To the Five Boroughs tour. They actually came. If you never saw that show on the DVD that, hey, I shot this DVD that they put out where they filmed the Madison Square Garden, during the show, they leave the stage and run to a platform that's up in the audience. My seats happened to be right where they were for that whole double session at the same Times Forum. I was like, yes, awesome, Beastie Boys, cool.
The last concert I went and saw was Daft Punk.
Daft Punk.
And if you've never seen Daft Punk, dude, oh my god.
Oh, they're cool.
If you've never seen Daft Punk, go see Daft Punk. Because it is mind-blowing. And you don't even need to be on drugs for it. You just go and have a great time.
They had a DVD they put out. It was called Alive 2007. I think it was from a French concert. That was pretty cool.
Well, they did that whole tour. I was at the Alive tour.
Oh, you lucky punk, you. Speaking of lucky, TNA Wrestling's ratings haven't bottomed out. And they're really trying to get them to go up because, as mentioned, Abyss can stop yelling that they're coming because it looks like they are here. And it would be a group that is, according to the TNA website, being called the Hardcore Superstars. The Hardcore Superstars, as of this moment, look like they include, Tommy Dreamer, World Champ Rob Van Dam, Mick Foley, who came out instead of Paul Heyman this past week on TNA Impact, Raven, Stevie Richards, Rhino, who are no longer sitting in the audience, Simon Diamond, Al Snow, who are road agents with the organization, or producers, if you want to call them that, also got involved this past week, so did Brother Devon, so did Bruno Sassi, who we'll talk to in the 11 o'clock hour. He does the gorilla position at the TNA events at that building. The funniest part out of this whole thing, Spug, was that Dixie Carter got on the microphone during this amazing beatdown segment, which should have just ended with that, and instead she gets on the mic and says, hey, I invited them. So my first question to you and the listeners and the people that are in the Wild Talk Radio chat room are, does that kill this whole gimmick right before it ever gets started? Dixie going, hey, I invited him here.
Tim is probably going to be sitting at his computer going, no, don't let him talk, but I'm going to say this. Typical woman, she doesn't know when to shut her mouth. But
I'm sorry, I know I just spit my water on my laptop.
No, seriously. If you look at all the great things that have started to happen with TNA and in TNA, every time, Dixie Carter comes out and just speaks, and it's like, just let it go. Just let it go. You don't have to say something every time. You are not Vince McMahon. You will never be Vince McMahon. You know, you do not have the power that man has. So just sit back and enjoy the fact that people are paying attention to your company and enjoy the fact that you are actually putting on a good television product.
For the last couple of weeks, they have been. This past week had some really good matches. You saw Brian Kendrick defeat the X Division champion Douglas Williams in a non-title I Quit match, which probably is leading to hard, well, would have been leading to Hard Justice, but we'll get to Hard Justice in a second. You're getting a best of five series between the current TNA World Tag Team Champions, the Motor City Machine Guns, and Beer Money. Match one was a ladder match. Now, because Beer Money won this match, they set up a match for this coming week, which I believe is a brawl or a street fight or something involving beer, knowing James Storm. You had Samoa Joe defeat Rob Terry and Desmond Wolfe, and we had the return of someone. No, it wasn't Homicide. Damn the men. It was Brutus Magnus, who looked like a swimsuit model in a tank top sitting with Tanae and everybody going, what's he doing there? I don't know. You also had Jeff Hardy take out Jay Lethal in a very interesting contest. You also had Kaz and AJ be announced as the members of Fortune. But none of that really matters because it looks like at Hard Justice, we're going to get TNA versus the Hardcore Superstars. Now, they have been mentioning, Spug, on TNA, they have been referring to them as the ECW Superstars. Now, Sorokin is our legal expert here, unlike Roger Cossack on ESPN. And if I remember right, I'm not 100% sure who actually owns ECW, those letters put together. If it is Uncle Vince and his friends up north, if it's some guy in Toluca Lake somewhere, obviously they had a refer. They've been using them. People, those kind of things all the time, Spug, where they've been saying, "Oh, he's a former WWE star, WWE champion." Are you comfortable with them being called the Hardcore Superstars, or you think they should go? No, what? Screw you. We're going to call them the ECW faction.
I really don't think it matters what the hell you call them, to be honest with you. You know, it doesn't matter. Everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows where they come from. I really don't think it matters anymore, because this idea of copyright and I own this and I own this. You know what, dude?
Mm-hmm.
If you owned it, then you should have done something to hang on to it.
Yep.
Because quite frankly, right now, the ECW name, brand, whatever you want to call it, you know, the ECW name / whatever is worth more, you know, is worth more now than probably has been in the last 5 to 10 years. And so if Vince really was going to be picky about, you know, the name and making money off of it, then he should have done something to hang on to it. Now TNA's capitalizing on it, and bravo for them.
No, because he had a chance with the one-night stand pay-per-views that they did. They had it when they launched the TV show. It's interesting how it's listed. It was registered by HAG Corp and then lists its owner as WWE Libraries. Thank you, Rock. Something that's also interesting about this pay-per-view is that we possibly, the CCW, TNA, whatever you want to call these guys, it looks like it may be a one-shot off pay-per-view, but it could signal the return of someone that I really am excited to see possibly back in TNA, and that would be the other whole effing show, the former TNA World Tag Team Champion. Oh, sorry, he was the NWA World Tag Team Champion with AJ Styles. And it was the pioneer in the X Division. You may be seeing at this pay-per-view on August 8th, Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn. Room in the chat, people, if you're there and you want to type, feel free to give your opinion.
Wait. One minute.
Go ahead.
One minute. I got something to make that match better, if at all possible.
Uh-oh.
Jerry Lynn, Rob Van Dam, and Tajiri. Just throw all three of those guys in there.
Could be interesting. I think Tajiri runs a promotion overseas. I'm not 100% sure on his location these days.
I think he runs one in Japan, but, I mean, if you're going to call anybody the innovator of the X Division, yeah, you could throw Jerry Lynn's name into it, but come on. Tajiri, man, Tajiri was just insane.
Oh, I'm sure of it. You can join us here on this phone line at 877-588-9877. Hit option 1. If you're a Skype user, you can Skype Sir Rockin. One person that we may not be seeing in a WCW mainstay. We may not be seeing anymore in a ring is the immortal Hulk Hogan. This was reported by numerous websites, including Wrestling Observer and our site, through the Online World of Wrestling Genesis Forum, that there is talk that Hulk Hogan may never wrestle again.
Thank God.
Hold your applause. This is as a result of his latest back operation. Now, as we had speculated for weeks, he was originally scheduled to have matches with Abyss and Sting, but they have been nixed. It is worth noting that Hogan was advertised on the official TNA website for this Monday's Impact, but he did not appear. He was ever mentioned a couple times by Big Sexy Kevin Nash. And Sir Rockin's also letting us know that Tajiri does work in Japan. He is now part of a promotion that took the place of Hustle. It's called Smash. We've talked about this for several weeks here. We've talked about it on Wrestle Talk Radio, and I've been fortunate enough to join that program. It's been talked about in blogs. It's been talked about online. I think it's possibly been talked about in certain correctional facilities in the United States. The role of Hulk Hogan in this organization, whether Paul Heyman's coming or not, let's just go with the assumption Paul's not coming. And Eric Bischoff has said in his blogs and on other radio shows, I don't know if it was brought up on the Monday Night Mayhem radio show where Eric does a sponsored question and answer segment. He's been saying, oh, I wasn't at the last TV. I went on vacation. I went fly fishing in Montana or Wyoming. Could we do for a while without a quote-unquote authority figure in this organization and just let the asylum run itself, so to speak? Or are we still comfortable, Spug, with Hogan being the authority figure?
I think Hogan just needs to go away, period.
So you don't even want him involved. You don't even want him sitting ringside with the daughter going, hey, we're on TV, dude!
No,
watch our reality show!
Go away. Just go away. You know, you've already sullied your name enough that people don't even respect you anymore. Just go away.
So do you want Bischoff going with him, too? And if Bischoff goes...
If Heyman comes, I want Russo, Bischoff, and Hogan, Nash, all of them out, gone. Give Heyman what he wants. Dixie Carter, if you do one thing to make your product better, and to get people like me, who for 6 years have not liked the product and not liked the program, if you do one thing, give Paul Heyman what he wants, because you will be a competitor to WWE instantly.
Just with Paul's name attached to the product, you think that'd happen? That fans would instantly flock from WWE and go, hey, look, Paul's over there. Let's go see Paul. Come on, boys. You'd think it would be a flock mentality back to the way WWE fans during the late 90s flocked to WCW with the New World Order gimmick. And it just seems that way with a lot of these shows. You got the Nexus block, you got this hardcore, whatever they're called, Superstars Block. Everybody's doing, even Ric Flair's rehashing the Four Horsemen as Fortune. It's just like, everybody must, is that the cool thing to do now? You gotta have a clique, you gotta have a faction to get over. The day of just one guy walking in the ring going, I'm a badass, I'm gonna beat everybody in his locker room. Actually, Kurt Angle's possibly doing that right now, but is that the thing that you have to have a gang of people to tell your storyline?
It's the NWO syndrome.
So this basically means we're going to see, like, every former ECW star from the beginning of time showing up in TNA now. Which, fans that don't remember it, if you're one of those people that just watched TNA wrestling the last couple years, they did this already. This was done during the weekly pay-per-view era in Nashville. And you had, at one point, Shark Boy teaming with New Jack, and New Jack walking around with the Incredible Hulk gloves on, smashing people all around, and you had Sandman there, you had Raven showing up, you had Shane Douglas puking in a ring, which I hope is on the Best of the Asylum Years DVD, which I am excited to say is coming this September. I know Bill Banks and TNA are not going to screw that DVD up, because their product sometimes may not be the greatest in the ring. And I know I shouldn't be a TNA basher, and I'm trying not to be tonight, but I'll go back and watch the Best of AJ Styles or James Storm and Chris Harris from the TNA years, or the Best of the NWA TNA matches. Every so often I'll throw, especially during the Abyss thing, which, thanks Abyss for destroying a ring, at least they had a backup tarp for that with Janice, I believe his thing's name is. I've been saying it on this show before. If you hated the cute cuddly Abyss, I'm glad he's gone, and I hope somebody showed him the barbed wire massacre match that opened Bound for Glory 2005, where him and Sabu nearly stole the entire pay-per-view in an opening match. I mean, it looks like the main event of this show was supposed to be Rob Van Dam and Abyss in an Extreme Rules match with Janice above the ring. Would you prefer that match, or would you prefer Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam to do this whole TNA versus ECW thing?
Abyss, you're not going to recreate the magic of the barbed wire match, and that was with Sabu, I do believe, correct? Or was that with Samoa Joe?
No, it was Sabu that they tore the place apart.
I thought that was with Sabu. You're not going to recreate that magic. Rob Van Dam's not that kind of wrestler. He never was. I mean, don't confuse the promotion with the wrestler. Look, Rob Van Dam may have been in ECW, but he wasn't, you know, what the majority of ECW wrestlers were, and that's, you know, a watered-down version of FNW in Japan. But I would much rather see Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam to main event that pay-per-view and to kind of kick this storyline off or whatever they're going to do with it, simply because that's a match that's going to catch fringe fans.
I hope so.
You talk to anybody who's a casual wrestling fan in the mid-90s. The one match that they remember. The one match that they remember is Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam from Barely Legal. That wasn't Barely Legal. What was that from? That wasn't a Barely Legal, wasn't it?
Might have been. Unfortunately, I'm not Mr. ECW, so I can't.
But I can't remember where it's from, but
I know the one you're talking about.
But
it was
stellar match. It's probably one of the matches of the 90s. But anyway, the long and short of it is that fans that have been turned off to the product or been turned off to the monotony of the product of the last 10 years, they hear a name of Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn, they're in. They'll find a place to watch that pay-per-view. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the match, if that is the match that is the main event of that pay-per-view, I will gladly I will gladly sit down and watch a TNA pay-per-view and smile about it.
Oh, who wouldn't? It would be very interesting to see, especially in the coming weeks. You still got a couple weeks worth of TV to get going here, so hopefully we'll see stuff in that way. One of the things you will see is a gimping Tommy Dreamer who injured his meniscus, which is in the knee. Learned that in anatomy and physiology. He is hoping to work through the pain and keep his I've never had surgery streak going alive. So we wish Tommy nothing but the best. I'm hoping he is some way involved in the creative aspect of this, Spug, because from what I do know from people, talking with people such as Steve Corino, who worked there for a while, and Hack Myers, who's there for a while, and before he passed away, the late Chris Candido, that Tommy is one of your more informed and creative people, whether he's going to book this entire show or not. Could you possibly see him taking over the entire TNA book from these guys? Or are you fine with the idea of, okay, just, you know, one time for you, Tommy, and we'll see what happens?
I thought Tommy proved he could do well with the book in ECW. I mean, he did book a good bit in ECW. So I thought I think he could do well. I would like to see him with a book. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to see this as a kowtow to ECW fans of we're going to put all the ECW guys over because we can. Because then you destroy the product that you're trying to build. So I'm hoping that Tommy Dreamer does it properly, and I know he will, because he is a fan and student of the game. So I'm hoping he books it properly, and I'm interested to see what he does.
I'm interested too, and as I said, it's August 8th is the pay-per-view. You can actually, Bob Ryder has been touting on his Facebook that there are travel packages available. You can go to TNAWrestling.com. They do some pretty neat stuff where they have meet and greets. You get first shot at running into the building and getting your spot before the general public. You get to see, I think there's a post-show pay-per-view match, which I don't even know if I would want to stick around for something like that. But hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to try to get... Oh, it's a pre-pay-per-view match. I'm sorry, Rock. I thought they said in the TNA Today segments it was a post one. We are going to take a break, and we're going to try to get on the line, the one and only Tatanka. If you have questions for him, feel free to join us, 877-588-9877. Here on My World of Wrestling Radio, the late Lane Staley taking us out here on My World of Wrestling Radio with Allison Chains.
Place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnMyWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the the official eFed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey guys, Maverick here, the host of the only show where it's okay to basically say,
Umaga in Samoan means shriveled up monkey penis.
Now I know what you're thinking. Why do I come on here talking about being a genius when I have so many problems with my own show? Well, it's simple, folks. I'm Maverick. I'm not Albert Einstein, for God's sakes. But if you're looking for a show with outlandish opinions of wrestling in the WWE, TNA, and the NorCal indie scene, then tune in to Running the Ropes, Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't worry about changing that dial, because you're already tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Seven seven five eight eight nine eight seven seven is the way to join us here on All My World of Wrestling Radio. We're in our second hour here. Thanks to the Wild Talk Radio Network for producing this show. If you want to also chime in with Sir Rockin, he is our producer on the show. You can Skype him because we have the man who has, look it up in the books, look in the WWE encyclopedia, the longest undefeated streak in WWE history. He is a former star there. He is still a star internationally. Recently a tour in Canada. He's going to be going to Kentucky in a couple days. And this Saturday, he will be a part of Coastal Championship Wrestling Summer Collision in Miami. Spug and I want to welcome the Native American Tatanka to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Good evening, sir.
Well, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the host there, yourself, Mr. Alan Wojcik. Smug, thank you for having me on. I love being on Online World of Wrestling. I want to say hello to all the listeners, all the supporters, and the contributors. So what's going on, guys? You want to talk some wrestling or what?
Absolutely. We want to talk a lot of things with you. Well, we just finished talking about TNA wrestling, and while it's still fresh in the fans' minds, you were on a few months ago as a part of the Jay Lethal Retro Challenge. They had Jim the Anvil Neidhart in as well.
Was that meant to be a one-shot for you, or was there a possibility of Tatanka becoming a mainstay in TNA wrestling?
Well, very clearly, it was a one-time event, but the event went so great that the agents, the commentators, the people behind the scenes, Terry Taylor, all of those are responsible. They all wanted me to be there and work full time. Now, I haven't pushed the issue, meaning I haven't been calling. They haven't been in touch with me. They have passed some messages, but, you know, the reason I really haven't pushed is because I'm really busy. I travel all over the world. I travel through the United States, internationally, from the United Kingdom to Switzerland to Germany to, Canada, you name it. I'm going all over the world doing wrestling events, so it's not like I'm not busy. But the biggest thing that I was looking for, I was there right before Hogan was coming in. I was really wanting to see what was going to happen there, because of course we all know wrestling here. We're not, what do you want to say? We're not dumb to the things that happen with wrestling, the political aspects and some of the games that can be played. So I really wanted to see what was going to happen with TNA. I had very, very high hopes that when Hogan came in that things would really start rocking. But, you know, when he came in, they went head-to-head with Vince, and they had to back off on that, go back to Thursday. So, and again, what I thought was going to happen there still has not happened. So I really wanted to see them bring the competition up so they would really be a second company. That's one of the biggest things that's hurt our business, not having the second major company there, always pushing Vince, always pushing WWE, and also giving the fans more of a base to be able to watch wrestling, but also, you know, giving the guys more opportunity of having a second major company to work at.
Mm-hmm. Because you did, I'll admit it, Spuggle admit it, Sir Rockin' our producer will admit it, heck, the guy six houses down from me admit it. You had one of the bigger pops in recent memory in TNA wrestling, because it was just like Lethal's doing this whole Macho Man thing, or Black Machismo thing, sorry. And all of a sudden, it was just like, Jim Neidhart, big woo, okay, Neidhart. Well, wait a minute, that's Tatanka? Holy cow.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was awesome being there, but, you know, again, I think, you know, first of all, I've never forgot about the fans, one thing. I've always spent time with the fans every time I'm on the road or every time I'm doing things of this nature. I love speaking to the fans because at the end of the day, none of us become superstars without the fans supporting you. So I've always been thankful for the fans. But, you know, I think it has a lot to do. I know. It has a lot to do because I'm coming from that era, which you guys were talking about before, in the 90s and the 80s, that fans all over the world love and fans all over the world want to see come back. You know, you don't see the characters come through the curtains anymore. You see everybody coming through, and everyone looks the same, specifically at WWE. That's one reason I loved Jay Lethal. Not only was he a great worker, but, man, could he portray the Macho Man character to a T. You know, so he really loved that era, and it was just great, what do you want to say? Everything was set for that match. With his character, my character just kind of matched and kind of brought back that era that fans really love and they want to see come back with wrestling.
877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, or you can Skype Sir Rock, and he is Tatanka. He is, as we mentioned, a former WWE superstar. One of the questions that, we'll stick with the backstage area for a moment. Our producer got a question, I am to him. Do wrestling companies need to be more fan-friendly and interact with the crowd more?
You mean backstage? Are you meaning as far as decisions that's happening inside of the company? Is that what you're meaning? Because obviously, you know, a lot of the companies definitely do, you know, a lot of personal appearances. So I think you're thinking more of office and fans. Is that what you're saying?
I think that he might be thinking that. He might also be thinking, oh, he's typing away here. Welcome
he's
to an internet era here.
Well,
he says he's interacting with the crowd. I guess getting the crowd involved in it. You know, back in the day, you'd have your heel, he'd beat you down, and then he would look at the crowd and scream, you gotta shut up over there, and then he would go back and work that section a little bit.
Well, yes, and I wanted to make sure that I was correct in what you were saying with the question. You know, what is missing with wrestling is exactly that. I know a lot about this. I mean, if you look in the 90s, when I was there from early 90 to the late 90s, we consistently did, you know, fives to sixes on the Nielsen wrestling rating all the time, which is, you know, 5-6 million homes, average 3 people per home. So if it's 5, you know, you have 15 million people watching that 1 hour time frame of WWF during that time. Then there was a time even in the 90s that I think it was, WWF main event in the 90s. I think it was in the 90s that it actually did a 15 on the Nielsen ratings, the highest it's ever been. Rock and Stone Cold doing that era, the Attitude Era, closing out the 90s where there was still that character, they were consistent, they did a 10, a 9 and a 10. But Wrestling Today is doing a 3 on the Nielsen ratings, and it's not going any higher than that. And you got TNA doing 1, and I believe the big reason for that is you don't have the characters that come through the curtain, the characters that portray a character going to the ring, and because of that, there's an automatic interaction with the fans. Yes, the characters during the day of the 90s and the 80s, I believe, were more interactive throughout the match because of their character. They played their character all the way through. Also, you have the good guy, you have the villain guy. You don't have that anymore. You know, everyone's mesh. You don't know who's really a good guy, a bad guy. Everyone's kind of the same. There's really not this big heel coming through the curtains like a Bam Bam Bigelow with flames on his head, tattoos, that looks like a villain, that looks like a bad guy. You know, so yeah, we're missing that in the business because a lot of the young kids get in the ring and it's a race from beginning to end and they're not interacting with the fans. As you see, the guys who interact with the fans are usually the guys who are the top stars.
We're going to take a step back from the wrestling business in a second to your before wrestling career. If I did my research right, reading your very well put together site, which is nativetatonka.com, this is actually pretty amazing to see. And I want to know if this is true and the reason behind it, that you were an ROTC colonel in high school and actually turned down a scholarship to the United States Military Academy and attended James Madison University. What was the reasoning behind that? Was it just you never saw the military in your future?
Well, from the area where I lived, I lived in Hampton, Virginia. That's where I went to high school, then went to college in Virginia. In that area, number one, was a lot of things were going on with me during that time, and I can cover it in about a minute. Football was really big in my area. The movie Denzel Washington, Remember the Titans, that's mm-hmm. my area. That's where I played ball, so football was big. So I had a lot of opportunities for football scholarships to University of North Carolina, a lot of schools that were seriously interested in me for football during that time. Also, being in the military, I was Command Sergeant Major the second year, and then, which is only one rank, which it basically you're the highest ranking, not officer, but, you know, with stripes on your shoulders. And then my senior year, I went to Brigade Colonel, which automatically came for an appointment to a $100,000 scholarship to West Point. It's just I had football going on. I have a lot of family members that's been in the military. But as soon as you take that scholarship to West Point, you automatically have to serve for 5 years. So you're looking at, you know, that's a big decision. Not only do you have the college, but you're going to be serving 5 years. It just at that time, I had so much going on with football, academic scholarships, but more with football that I just wanted to go the football route, even though I have family in the military. My brother's in the military. My brother's in the Navy. He's one of the first guys that he was one of the first strikes on Afghanistan, you know, on the USS Enterprise when we first went to war. So, and he's still in the military and finishing up probably his last term here shortly. But it was just something that I wasn't ready to make the commitment military, but it was something that I did in high school to offer me the opportunity. But football was great. So I went to James Madison University on a football scholarship.
Like many of the legends of the business, including Bob Windham, who wrestling fans would know as Blackjack Mulligan, the late, great Wahoo McDaniel, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Lex Luger also comes up here. You had several tryouts and some shots in the NFL. I have a friend who plays in the NFL right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he wanted me to ask this question to you. What's harder, training camp in the NFL or training to become a professional wrestler during the era that you did train in? You trained in the early 90s as opposed to today. What was harder, being in Dolphins training camp or other training camps or training for the pro wrestling ranks?
Well, you know, the day that I went out for the Dolphins, I did make their free agent cuts, and I had an agent. There was probably, my gosh, I don't know how many guys came to camp that day. There was probably, well, I don't know, maybe 1,000 guys, if not 1,000, a little bit under, but they had a ton of guys. And at the end of the day, I think they cut everything down to about 30 total guys covering a whole bunch of different positions. You did, you know, a lot of skill, a lot of speed, a lot of lateral work, which football is. It's a lot of speed. It's a lot of lateral. But, you know, wrestling, it's a total different animal. I've always said this about wrestling. You know, I've played football, and I, like I said, I came from an area where we were AAA state champions. We loved to hit. Football was serious in high school, college, too, the area I was in, Virginia, and then I had the Dolphins. But, you know, I've wrestled, and it's unbelievable. I've been hurt more in wrestling than I ever was with football.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, wrestling is very, you know, people don't understand how physical it actually is, because when you come through the curtains, not only do you have to portray your character, who you are, but you're in front of people, you're in front of a TV camera, then you got to get in that ring and you got to go, you know, from bell to bell. And if you're someone that entertains the fans, you're not going to be sitting around in the ring or in a hole doing that. So it's a lot of work, and it's very physical. Wrestling is very physical, especially today. The game is sped up so much, and there's so much more, what do you want to say, higher impact moves compared to the 90s. The guys are getting hurt all the time. You know, even when I was at WWE recently, guys were being out sometimes as much as a full year. So I would have to say that, believe it or not, that wrestling was more physical as far as training camp when I went to Larry Sharp's Monster Factory compared to Miami Dolphin training camp for making cuts that day. Wrestling was definitely more physical. And tougher.
I'd like to stick with football. Well, not really football, but just society in general for a moment, if I could.
Yeah.
You are a proud member of the Lumbee, is that how it's pronounced? The Lumbee tribe?
Yeah, Lumbee tribe, yes, from Pembroke, North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Over the years, we've seen several Native American groups protest the use of the Cleveland Indians, the Washington Redskins, Atlanta Braves, the Florida Seminoles, the Fighting Illini out of Illinois. Where do you fall on that? And some of the mascots. Now, the Cleveland Indians are a tribute to a former Native American player that we had named Nap Lajoie. And for a while there, we were called the Cleveland Naps, and then they just changed it to the Cleveland Indians. That aside, you had the Illini in Illinois who were sponsored by the tribe at one point. Do you feel that if it's done in taste, it is okay, or would you like to see the Native American team names go away completely?
I've been asked that question before. You know, I'm definitely proud of my heritage. I'm the real deal. I'm really Native American, not someone portraying it in the ring. If you go to my tribe, you'll find my last name. Also, I did sacred rituals with the Lakota, which are the Sioux, to not only get my name officially from the Sioux by Sioux right to give me the name Tatanka, which is a Sioux name, but I also became a relative to the Sioux. So I'm actually family to the Sioux by doing one of their 7 sacred rituals that they practice still today. I actually did 2 sacred rituals with them, but one of them, which is called the Hunka ceremony, made me relative to the Sioux. So I'm very, very proud of my heritage, always have been ever since even high school. But, you know, as far as mascots and all of that goes, I'm very close with the Seminoles. I'm very close with the chief of the Seminole tribe. The warrior that you see that comes out on the field before all the games, that was all approved by the Seminole tribe. They're fine with it. They don't have any problems with it. He's wearing traditional wear, the Seminole patchwork shirt that all the men wore, which is like dated back as early as the 1800s. That's what he's wearing. So the Seminoles actually gave that look to the Seminole, you know, Florida State University, and gave them an okay to do that. What I believe is this: there's a lot more issues in life today with the Native Americans than just worrying about a Washington Redskins logo or Florida State Seminole logo or Cleveland Indians. As long as it's not done distasteful. I'm not looking at any of those things. I'm looking at things that the natives themselves and those that are interested in helping the natives, I'm looking at more of the issues like the problems on reservation lands where they don't have any running water, they don't have any electricity, diabetes is high, a lot of different problems that need to be focused on, even by the Native Americans, than focusing on something such as that. Because at the end of the day, if you get rid of all the symbols, it still hasn't brought a change to the tribe. But what really brings change to the tribe is focusing on some of the major issues that they're having with their youth, that they're having with education, drugs and alcohol, and there's many reasons for that. A lot of the tribes are doing fantastic, and education is awesome. A lot of the tribes are, of course, they have casinos, they're making money, and they're like the Seminoles, are taking care of their tribes. And most people think they're just taking money and spending it. No, they're not. They're building schools on reservation lands. They're giving homes to their people. They're making sure that the history, the language, and everything is being passed through the generations. So I believe there's a lot more important things than worrying about mascots and all that kind of stuff. I'm in total disagreement with that. I've been to certain events where there were natives outside, four or five, you know, like a Florida State Seminole game where they're, you know, protesting that. But again, at the end of the day, there's a lot more important issues to be concerned about.
Fair enough. And kind of goes hand in hand with my next question is, you are, again, a very proud member of your tribe, and as I've just found out, the Lakota tribe. I had no idea you were a member of them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to see more Native American portrayed in wrestling? I mean, real Native, true Native Americans. Forgive me for this, I apologize. I'm not sure if Wahoo McDaniel was or was not an Indian. I want to say he was.
Yes, he was. Choctaw or Chickasaw. You know, they're both the same. They're just a different band. But yes, he was Native American. Chief J. Strongbow, of course, as most know, he was not. But again, Chief J. Strongbow, again, really loved the Native Americans and, you know, did a great job portraying the natives, but he wasn't really Native American. Yeah, it'd be great to have more Native Americans in the business. I think it's just, you know, the problem with that is truly finding true natives that not only are Native American, but also that they're training for professional wrestling. A Native American character is great to have because the powerful thing about that is, you know, somewhere along the line, kids have always played cowboys and Indians. So it's a great character. It's a character that nowadays even people respect and honor more because they know what the natives have went through, and they truly understand with, you know, a lot of the new movies that came out, Kevin Costner, who I met personally, you know, Dances with the Wolves, that really showed the natives truly how they are, not those old John Wayne movies that totally depicted Native Americans in a total wrong way. They never were like that. How Dances with Wolves is how the natives truly are. You know, they're about family, they're about the creator, they're about taking care of things, respecting others, helping other people, it's about good things, you know, taking care of good things. It's not all about what's been shown on TV. So I'd love to see more natives in the business, but I think the biggest problem is truly finding Native Americans that are actually training to become a professional wrestler.
He is Tatanka, joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. 877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us. You can also Skype Sir Rockin. I brought up the name Lex Luger earlier, and that was to plant a seed in the aspect of, like Lex Luger, well, this isn't where you may think it's going. Like Lex Luger, you had a career outside of professional wrestling and had a business mind before you came into WWF at
yes.
the time when it was called. When your character debuted as Tatanka, because you had wrestled under your real name for SAPW in the North Carolina area, did that, having the James Madison University education and having worked in Bally's gym, did that help ground you mentally when they just said, we're going to push you and push you hard, and you're going to have posters and T-shirts, and it's going to be like right out of the gate? Did that help in any aspect, or was there people in the office that you may have turned to and said, I don't know if I can handle this, guys?
No, you know, one of the things is what I had done after coming out of college and also working with my dad in some executive positions in the shipyard before Newport News Shipyard. That's right out of, you know, in between college and right after high school. But, you know, the biggest thing is after coming out of college, I eventually started working for Bally's Corporation, which is down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I actually became a divisional manager for them, which the organization is huge. Bally's, the gambling casinos with the machines, but they also own a huge, underneath their umbrellas, a huge health fitness organization, Scandinavians, Bally Health and Fitness. Well, I was a divisional manager for them. I did sales for them. My club was responsible for writing $400,000 to $500,000 a month. My club, we would hit that number pretty much every month. I had a number of writing $100,000 a month in memberships, which I did. Kathy Gerard and myself, two divisional managers of the Fort Lauderdale Club, we became two of the top producers for Bally's, and we actually got rings, which, you know, we're $1 million producers for Bally's. So all of that success and selling myself definitely helped out without a shadow of a doubt when the doors opened up at WWF, because I knew how to talk to people. I knew how to sell. I had already been in a major corporation, which was Bally's. My club was, like I said, we were writing $400,000 to $500,000 per month, almost $500,000 worth of business in a month. So I was used to working with big numbers and already making money and already being successful. So all of that just took me to the next level in WWF. Did it help me? Definitely. When I got there, did I need to have any help from anybody? No, but the first person that I became close with and started joking with me, and we became friends, and we rode on the road for the whole first 6 years together, 300 days a year, was myself and Undertaker. That's who I rode on the road with all the time, Mark. That's who I trained with. That's who I drove with. That's who I hung out with, went out with, ate dinner with. I mean, we traveled all the time. If I wasn't with him, I was with the head shrinkers, the Samoan guy, Samoan Fatu and Sammy, and also being with Yokozuna. He was just a great guy. Heavily missed, but no, you know, all the business and success from before came right into WWF, and it helped me to, you know, stay grounded, as you said, but it helped me to be confident, and as he did these things, to step into the ring, and as Vince does, he gives you the ball. If you score, he continues to give you the ball, and when he sees you're going to continue to score, that's it. They'll push you, and if you keep your head on tight, you can make a lot of money.
Mm. Who was actually doing creative at that point? Was it Pat Patterson and Vince McMahon?
Yes, Pat Patterson. Yeah, it was Pat Patterson, and it was Chief J. Strombo always being there, always being Vince's right-hand man that Vince could go to and say, hey, Chief, what do you think about this? Pat was always given the main ideas, and you see, that's what's hurting today. What's hurting today is you got a lot of writers that are coming out of college, you got these people from movie scenes, but back in the day, okay, which is just not that long ago, in the 90s, you actually had a wrestling writer, someone who had been in the wrestling ring, Pat Patterson, someone who understood what it took to be successful in the ring, and someone who made a lot of money from wrestling. You got a lot of guys in the business today, never stepped in the ring, doesn't know what it takes personally to be successful, trying to write wrestling storylines, and they don't make any sense. You know, that's one of the biggest problems. So Pat Patterson was awesome. Pat Patterson, as you know, if you don't know, Pat Patterson was the major force behind the whole Rock character. He was the one that was totally hands-on with that character and fine-tuned that character, and needless to say, we all know what happened with the Rock. So, you know, Pat Patterson's got a great mind, but unfortunately, those minds are not in the business, and today, the minds that are in the business, there's too many of them, there's too many, as the natives would say, too many chiefs, and not just one chief, there's too many chiefs, so nothing truly gets done that should get done, meaning there's some great minds, but because all the politicking and all the things that happen, sometimes the good things that could be done don't come to the surface and get done.
Now, at this time frame, when you're in WWF at the time, we'll call it that since that's what it was called then, over in the competition, you had mentioned that they were former performers doing the actual writing. Ted Turner's folks actually felt the exact opposite way that, you know, at one point Cowboy Bill Watts was in, then a guy that worked for Pizza Hut named Jim Herd was involved.
Yeah.
Is that, and obviously, you know, you were at TNA Wrestling recently where you have Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara, who Ed, if you've seen interviews with him back in his career, was an indie worker while he was working on Weird Science for the USA Network. Does that kind of a situation bother you, like you said? Because at WWF right now, that's pretty much what it is. It's Stephanie McMahon, Levesque, and then there's a room like you would have on the Big Bang Theory on CBS or CSI Miami or other TV networks. Does that kind of bother you as someone who's still active in the industry that, you know, like someone that I had mentioned, at this time during the early 90s, your competition felt the exact opposite way?
Yeah, well, you know, let's hit two things there. Number one, the first thing to hit is, yes, WCW had a different mind thought, a different methodology as far as how they portrayed their show and how they did their show. But, you know, again, if you look at WCW, nothing against them at that time, Vince McMahon and WWF was always number one. Always stayed number one and stayed on top the whole time. WCW was there, which was good, always pushing Vince, but Vince was never concerned about them overtaking. And the difference was, you had wrestling at WCW, but at WWF, you had characters, everyone that stepped through the curtain was a superstar. They knew how to tell the story, and that's what made the difference. They knew how to tell the story. So I love, as far as the great workers, we love when guys are in the office of that nature, because then you're going to be able to tell the right stories. Then you're going to be able to get into a storyline with someone, and it be an awesome storyline, and it go places. And also us, the wrestlers, we never forget, as I open this conversation, we never forget the fans. The true workers, we love to entertain the fans, but if you don't have the proper story, if you don't have the proper opponent, if everything doesn't fit right, then guess what? No matter how hard you work, you're never going to bring that crowd. You're never going to bring your company to where it truly needs to be. Back in the day, it was like that all the time. I mean, storylines, I mean, that's one thing Vince loved doing with me, and which I love. Every one of my storylines lasted a whole year. I mean, I went around the whole world with Rick Martel for a whole year. I went around the whole world with Bam Bam Bigelow, literally, for 1 year. Then I went around the whole world with Yokozuna and Ludwig Borga, but mainly Yokozuna when he was WWF champion at that time, for a whole year. Then IRS for a whole year. Lex Luger for a whole year. But the storylines were told so good, you could go all over with that storyline, and it was just absolutely awesome. So veterans do not like seeing the guys that we have in the business today. A lot of guys set in the locker rooms today, the big names that we all know, they don't like the guys that are in those positions because they've never been in the ring, they've never wrestled, they've never put their boots on, and sometimes usually it's those guys that try to act like they really know what's going on. Nothing against them, but the guys really love the guys that truly have wrestling underneath their belt and truly understand what needs to be done in that squared circle. Unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of veterans, and unfortunately there's not a lot of new and upcoming guys with that old school thought that can truly portray those storylines, because they're coming with the wrong wisdom and knowledge, coming from, like I said, Hollywood, or coming from just coming out of college and just writing storylines and truly not understanding how it needs to be done in professional wrestling.
You bring up storylines, and one of the major ones that comes to mind is when you join Ted DiBiase's Million Dollar Corporation. As someone you were bringing up earlier, the plight of the Native American today and the things that they need and the troubles that they go through, how did Vince approach you to do that storyline?
Well, it was awesome. Actually, with Lex Luger, what actually happened with that is the whole time before that, all those years before that, Vince had pushed me babyface, 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 the longest winning streak, 2 years, undefeated, still holds today, still a record for WWF, WWE. And back in the day, that's really a record because, you know, it's not that I'm talking about myself, but most people don't realize back in WWF during those days, we were actually on the road 300 days a year. Now they're on the road about 250. On weekends, we would actually do double shots where we would do a show during the day and a show at night. TV, sometimes you'd wrestle three, maybe four times in a matter of one night or maybe two nights of TV taping. So as far as matches, you did a lot more matches during those years as compared to today. And again, you know, Vince has got the schedule that way because he doesn't go to a lot of the house shows he used to, but also longevity of the guys because wrestling's got so physical. But that angle, I had been running very, very strong as a babyface. Actually, Vince called me into his office one-on-one, just Vince McMahon and myself. No one else was there. Vince pitched it at me himself, sitting down right in the office with him one-on-one. When he first told me, I kind of like listened to it, and I was thinking more of being a baby face and thinking about all the merchandising and thinking about all the good things that had already happened in my career. And I was going, man, do I really want to be a heel? Because I'm going to lose being a baby face and being having all of the things that go along with it. But then Vince went over it again, okay? And he says, let me go over it again. And then he started portraying, you know, more points on it, meaning, listen, you're not only just going to turn, but you're going to turn because you're going to be the Native American wanting to get everything that you can for you, the Native American who's been taken advantage of. You're going to take your shot now, and you're going to get what you want for you, the Native Americans, and for your people. So as he told it more, and as I started realizing, as Vince started talking about the angle and knowing that Lex had always been a heel and knowing how we were going to portray it, I started realizing, wow, this can be a great storyline. This can be a great storyline. So finally I said, hey, Vince, I love it. So because that's what I loved. I loved great storylines. And at the end of the day, I think most fans know, and if they don't know, it doesn't matter if you have a belt around your waist, because Undertaker did it for years and still doing it. It doesn't matter if you have a belt around your waist or if you're a bad guy or a good guy. It takes two to tangle in the ring, plus a third person, which is the referee, but it takes two. If you don't have a good bad guy and a good guy, you can't have that awesome match. So it doesn't matter which side of the track you're on, you still make the same amount of money, even if you don't have a t-shirt. So that angle with Lex Luger was so great that when it actually went off in SummerSlam and I actually turned, the building went to a hush. I remember it was that. It was at Chicago at the United Center. We were the first live event there for SummerSlam. When they actually seen that I turned, it turned to a hush in that building. About 4 or 5 seconds later, they started booing. They started throwing stuff. And Vince had really pushed Lex a lot before that. I don't know if you guys remember the Lex Express.
Oh, yeah.
Slamming Yokozuna on the Intrepid, which the fans got with, but they really hadn't got with Lex yet. But with this angle, it took him right over the top. And, man, when he went out, he had a huge pop. And when I came out, they wanted to see him whip my butt. It was unbelievable. It was great. And we, Lex and myself, just had some great matches with the places just popping. And at the end of the day, that's what you want to have. If you're truly a performer and you're an entertainer, you want to go out there, leave it in the ring, have the fans enjoy, and not only you and the worker that you're working with, that you just have an awesome match when you come through the curtains. You left it all in the ring, and that's what was great about that storyline and all the storylines, because they were so great that the fans were with them so much that all you had to do is just go out and wrestle. And wrestle hard and portray that character in that storyline, and it was great. That's the reason, again, the fans want that era.
He is the Native American Tatanka. He is brought to us tonight by the folks at Coastal Championship Wrestling, where he will be performing this weekend down in the South Florida area. www.ccw.ms is the way to find out all that information. We'll be talking to him about that in a moment or two. There's two areas I wanted to bring up that I've done with a couple folks that in print interviews that I've done over the years and on this program. The two questions that I always love getting the answer to are your initial experience at WrestleMania. You debuted WrestleMania-wise in Indianapolis at WrestleMania 8, which was famous for Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior segment, Bret Hart and Roddy Piper, the Ric Flair Randy Savage match. You had mentioned going around the world with the model Rick Martel. Talk about that whole experience just of WrestleMania, because now WWE does a whole full access thing and a Hall of Fame thing. What was the feeling like in Indianapolis for someone like you who was just like, okay, I'm going to be wrestling in front of 75,000 people with Rick Martel?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, you just hit it on a nail on the head. First of all, WrestleMania, as you know, it's always been the flagship pay-per-view. They've always had all the WrestleMania stuff building up to it, you know, Fan Fest and all that 2-3 days before the event. The same thing happened there at Indianapolis. So we're going from place to place, doing autographs, meets and greets, being with all the fans. It was absolutely awesome. But the build-up, knowing that you're going to wrestle at WrestleMania 8 at Indianapolis Hoosier Dome, and there was going to be 75,000 people live, not including millions by pay-per-view, it was just an absolutely awesome experience. Plus, that particular pay-per-view, my tribe actually came out. The singers and dancers from the Lumbee Nation, our competitive singers and dancers that go around to all the powwows, they actually made their entrance before I came out. So it was a great honor because Vince not only put me instantly into a WrestleMania with a great superstar, Rick the Model Martel, and someone had done awesome in WWF, but he wanted to honor me being as far as being a Native American. And plus, you know, being in front of a crowd like that, just unbelievable. The electricity in front of 75,000 people at WrestleMania is unbelievable. I've been in front of one crowd larger than that, and I think, again, can't remember if it was SummerSlam or Survivor Series, but it was in the United Kingdom.
SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah, SummerSlam, that's right. SummerSlam, United Kingdom, and Wembley Stadium. We had 80,435 people, and I wrestled the Berserker there, and that was just, it was like this little ring in the middle of this sea of people. Same thing like Hoosier Dome. That Hoosier Dome was so high and so big. It was just absolutely awesome being in front of 75,000 people and also defeating Rick the Modern Martel, because again, here's one of the top stars, you know, not only in the 90s, but even before the 90s, and what a great character. So it was an honor to be there, and it was an honor to not only have my first win at WrestleMania, but also have my tribe there portrayed and my heritage portrayed all in one of the WrestleMania events.
877-588-9877. Option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio with the Native American Tatanka. The other obligatory question I have to ask, because I've gotten to see you and perform in few arenas over my lifetime, including, you mentioned the double shot thing. During your run against Lex Luger, I actually saw you guys at a 2 p.m. show at my old high school in Long Island, and then you guys went and wrestled in Philadelphia. The place that I always, I was spoiled to go to thanks to my dad and my grandfather was Madison Square Garden, and you had some memorable matches in that building, including wrestling Yokozuna.
Oh, yeah.
I got to ask the obvious question, the Madison Square Garden experience, because, I mean, you know, as I said, Hulkamania was born there, WrestleMania was born there, all the legends. Does that sink in? As I said, you were obviously a fan, a big, big fan of the industry when you joined it. You hadn't grown up watching it, but did you take it in when you first went to the Garden and just sat there going, holy crap, I'm wrestling at Madison Square Garden?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been, definitely. I've been one of the people that, you know, and there's other guys, always the same guys. Unfortunately, Owen Hart was one of those guys. Bret Hart is one of those guys. There's certain guys in our business that no matter where we went, we would enjoy foreign countries. We would go study the history, and same thing. When I came to Madison Square Garden, I walked up and down all those halls and looked at all the pictures of the stars, mega stars that have been there for basketball and for singing and concerts and just all of the, what do you want to say, history there at Madison Square Garden. And all the Madison Square Garden events, too, I don't know if still, I'm sure Vince is still doing it today, but specifically doing WWF, all of those events, and even today with WWE, but specifically WWF, there was such a, what do I say, there was such an era, I can't tell you about that building, but also all the executives from WWF would always be there. Vince McMahon would be personally at that show. All the executives of WWF would be personally at that show. Vince would be standing by the curtain watching pretty much every match, specifically watching those matches that were angles leading up to something. He'd be right there at the curtain, and Shane would be there, and Stephanie would be there, and Linda would be there. So not only were you performing in front of all the fans, but you know that the boss man was standing right there at the curtain looking through the curtain. So it was awesome, and I've had some great matches there. I miss him. I mean, one thing we've both said about each other many, many times, Bam Bam Bigelow and myself, we had some of the greatest matches of our career with each other. I mean, I remember wrestling him in the Garden, and we had that heated angle. And right at the beginning, he was outside the ring. I went flying over the top rope with a crossbody. He caught me, but he went back, and his head hit one of the guardrails where it hadn't been connected. And it was a little spike sticking up. Hit him right in the head, and it actually went into his skull. You know, and he actually had to pull his head off of it. I mean, it went into his skull. I mean, he had a hole, and he got back in the ring. He got back at the beginning of a match. Here he is bleeding, blood flowing down that tattooed head, and we had one of the most awesome, awesome matches we ever had. And he just looked like he always looked like Bam Bam, the Beast from the East, you know. It was just great. I had great matches with him and great matches with Yokozuna and Fuji being his manager there when Yokozuna was WWF champion. There was many times there that the crowd was right on the edge waiting for me to get that belt. Right on the edge. So there were very memorable matches right there at Madison Square Garden for myself.
Our producer, Sir Rockin, was messaged this one. Seeing as Tatanka has traveled around the world and has seen many big moments in many big arenas, what was one moment that you were witness to that you will always remember that Tatanka, the character, was not a part of whatsoever?
That the character was not a part of a wrestling event?
Right. Was there something like when WrestleMania 10, you came out to the ring when Bret Hart celebrated? Was there anything particular in your mind along those lines, I guess, is what they're asking?
You mean coming out and celebrating with Bret?
Just
not
in general, something maybe that you were in the locker room that was on that card that you were like, wow, I'm on this card with this match or these people. Was there anything?
Well, yeah, oh my gosh, yes. There's been, I mean, there have been so many times. I mean, we just mentioned it earlier. If I remember right, wasn't it the SummerSlam with Bret and God, I don't know where that was at, but you remember when Bret and Davey Boy wrestled each other? Where was that at? Was that in the
UK? That was Wembley.
Yeah, Wembley. That the build up to that was phenomenal on that card. You could feel the build up with that match on that particular card. I thought definitely it was Wembley Stadium. I was sure. I just wanted to make sure. But that match was phenomenal. They not only did they have a phenomenal match, and the crowd was up and down and up and down and exploded on the finish.
This is the producer, Sir Rockin. Just a quick question for you. Did you have any ribs played on you or any good rib stories?
Well, you know, one good thing about me is I've always been a very I've been a people's person. I've always been very, very friendly. I've always got along with the guys. I love people in general. So I've always been one of the guys that was always close with the top talent. And because of having success, you automatically fit into that group. But, you know, most important, I was just a normal person working hard at WWF, and I got really close with a lot of the top guys. Never had an attitude. So I never really had any bad ribs played on me. The worst rib I had played on me was the Steiners, you know, took my blow dryer cord, you know, because I was always fixing my hair. I had my red hair and blow drying my hair and always fixing my hair. The Steiners took my cord on my blow dryer and they cut the power, the plug-in part in. So when I took out my blow dryer the next morning to go plug it in, it didn't have a plug-in. Or that night at the building after my wrestling match, it didn't have a plug-in. So we kind of laughed about it. We knew it was the Steiners. Chief J. Strombo was like, okay, Steiners. you know, funny little ha-ha. So I've never had any really bad things pulled on me, and I never really pulled any pranks on anyone else because I never had them pulled on me. You know, usually, as you know, Smug, you know, a lot of those things that are pulled on guys, usually most of the times it's either they've done something wrong or the guys don't like them, locking their bags to, you know, up high in the ceiling to a pipe, you know, with a chain and a lock that you can't get it off, you know. So usually, you know, there's something going on that, you know, maybe guys don't like you that's happening to you. But I really never had any big ribs happen to me except for that one.
Never did that one or seen that one. We took a guy's car keys once and super glued them to the inside of a toilet bowl.
Well, one person I always heard was a big river, especially it was Owen Hart that had played stuff.
And I always heard stories. Owen was great.
Mr. Fuji had ever teamed up back in the day. I mean, I had heard stories of Mr. Fuji taking like tires off cars, engines completely.
Oh yeah, Fuji. Oh yeah. Fuji was the one that you did not want to mess with. You did not want to get upset because if you did, he's going to get you. He'll wait 6 months and come back and get you. Fuji, Owen was just great because he would just play good, humorous. He was always funny, always humorous. He was always the light in the locker room, always joking. You know, he was great. You know, he was the kind of guy that you would come in, the whole group would be flying in. Maybe we didn't sleep that much that night. We're all coming into a hotel. You know, maybe it's backed up at the hotel desk and we're just getting into our rooms and we're wanting to sleep. Owen was the guy that would call someone's room and act like, you know, the guy at the front desk and would act like, you know, whoever was signing in, if it was a Pakistan guy or a guy from India, he would change his voice and say, listen, I need you to come to the front desk. You know, we have all these pizzas that you ordered. You know, and the guy would say, no, I didn't order any pizzas. Yes, you did. You ordered pizzas. You need to come to the front desk. You know, Owen would change his voice so much that people would truly believe it was the guy at the front desk, and he would keep pushing the guy, you need to come down here and pay for these pizzas, you know, and he would get the guy so flustered, you know, on the phone that the guy would actually, he would do it to everybody. He would pick his victims wisely. He would get them so flustered they would fly out of their rooms trying to get some rest, come into the front desk, and he would start yelling at the guy at the front desk. Owen would be off to the side laughing and giggling. He was so good. I mean, Owen even got Stu at one time. Finally, Stu realized, okay, Owen. You know, I mean, he was just all funny stuff, really good ribs, nothing bad. He would just get you, you know, and you'd be halfway through the rib and you go, oh my God, Owen, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And all of a sudden he'd start laughing. He was good. He was very, very good, but it was all good, good fun ribs is the great thing about Owen. It was always great having Owen around.
You had mentioned you're going to be a part of an event in Kentucky besides your event coming up for CCW. Go ahead and tell the fans about the events you're going to be a part of in Kentucky, and then we'll discuss CCW in a moment.
Well, you know, as far as Kentucky, you know, I'm going there. The event is for SIWF. I'm not sure the actual full lettering, but it's going to be a huge fair. It's one of the huge fairs in Kentucky. I mean, they get thousands of people at this fair. It's going to be a big, big wrestling event for SIWF. Again, I'm wrestling all over. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm going from England, Germany. I was just contacted by France to come back over to France and Ireland and AWR. Again, I'm going everywhere. So the best thing for fans to do if they're wanting to see where I'm going, go to my website, nativetatanka.com. I've got a schedule there. I'm always updating the fans, letting them know where I'm going. I just came back from Canada, had great events in Canada. I'm going back to Canada this year a few more times, probably about three more times just this year, a couple more times next year. So I'm all over the place doing wrestling events. I'm on top of my game. I'm staying in shape. Matter of fact, I'm literally wearing out the young kids in the ring because I'm staying on top of my game. I'm doing my cardio. I'm working out 5 days a week. You know, again, when we come back from Kentucky, I turn right back around, which you mentioned. I'm going down to, of course, Coastal Championship Wrestling. Again, that's going to be an event for the Miccosukee Tribe. Again, that's going to be Saturday, July 24th at the Miccosukee Event Dome, which is in Miami. Again, I was down there a few weeks ago promoting an event. There was a great crowd there July 3rd and July 4th. They even had KC and the Sunshine Band that was there. And they filled the house where we're going to be. I mean, people were fired up. They loved that old school music. But if anyone is listening from that area, everyone is very familiar with the Miccosukee Casino. If you're not, it's on the corner of Tamiami Trail and Chrome Avenue. I used to have a second home down in the Fort Lauderdale area, so I was very familiar with the Miccosukee Casino out there. Again, the Dome is a beautiful air-conditioned building. It's at the south end of the Miccosukee Resort Complex. You can't miss it. Again, Summer Rumble, and again, the doors open at 7. Bell times at 8. There'll be meet and greets prior to the match. Tickets start at 10 for adults, 9 for kids. They can be purchased through Ticketmaster, or you can call the box office, which is 305-222-4600, 305-222-4600. And myself, the Native American Tatanka, the Warrior, is going to be going against the former CCW heavyweight champion, Dunk Rivers, in the main event.
He's evil.
I have to give Doc a little credit here. I mean, again, he did beat Dustin Rhodes, I understand, for the title. So Dustin Rhodes comes from, again, a generation of wrestlers. Dustin is a great wrestler. So if he beat Dustin, he must be able to bring it in the ring. But I definitely hope that he laces up his boots real tight, because the Native American Tatanka is definitely going to bring it to him for sure. And guaranteed at the end of the night, the Native American Tatanka will be standing victorious in the ring. But it's going to be an awesome event, guys. And, of course, Doc has to remember, too, we're going to be on Native American sovereign lands where true natives hanging by ringside. So you better watch out, because I've got a lot of friends on my side.
I feel so bad for him.
It's going to be an awesome event. All you great listeners out there, anyone that's going to be in the Miami area, definitely come down. It's been a pleasure, Alan, being on the show. Again, I look forward to meeting you in person. Again, thank you for having me on Online World of Wrestling Radio. And again, I thank you, Alan, being the host, and Smug also. I thank him. And at any time, get in touch with me. I'd love to do more radio for you in the near future, okay?
Wonderful. Native American Tatanka, his website, as he mentioned, nativetatanka.com. He's got stuff on there involving wrestling, his spirituality with the Native American tribes, his public speaking engagements he does. So we are more than grateful to have him here. Coming up after the break, the show he mentioned, Summer Collision 2010, the promoter of that event and a performer on that show, Bruno Sassi, will join us here next on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Good. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
I wish I would have met you.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Darian.
Janice Rousseau.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And some more.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rockin, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy. Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Hawk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Hawk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out. Tweet your friends right on their wall. Spread the word for a can't miss moment.
Yes, I'm glad Rock's recording because this will be probably one of the only times you'll ever hear me say that I was actually impressed by Mr. Anderson tonight. He did very well. They set up the Jeff Hardy splash in the corner thing, and at the last possible second, Anderson gets up, grabs Hardy in a power slam, dropped him down for a quick two count, and I was impressed, sir.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, we're gonna...
Man, I miss me some Dimebag Darrell Abbott. 877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Much respect and thanks to the Native American Tatanka. NativeTatanka.com is his site, And I mentioned www.ccw.ms earlier. The reason I mention it is because Tatanka's going to take on Doc Rivers, a former CCW heavyweight champion, the man that's going to be involved in a tag team match that night, taking on the Red Devil Fight Team, which I believe is their current tag team champions. You see him on TNA as Sal or Sally Boy during the Main Event Mafia gimmick. He's also been a tag team performer for years in Phi Delta Slam with Big Tilly, who, or Brother Tilly, depending on if you're friends with him or not. We want to welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, Bruno Sassy is here tonight.
Hey guys, what's happening guys?
We're here and hopefully we're not gonna have any more power issues, cause I think just, Tatanka's awesomeness was what brought the power down. I want to talk to Bruno Sassy, the promoter, first. CCW has been around for several years, and I've been to some of their events in the Yokoi area, and have seen performers such as, you know, we mentioned Dustin Rhodes' work for you guys. The current Montel Vontavious Porter was at one point known as MVP work for you guys. Deuce and Domino, before they were WWE superstars, work for your guys. As the promoter slash booker, do you find it difficult when you book someone like Tatanka or a Dusty Rhodes? Because I was a witness to a show that Dusty and Dustin teamed up together, and Brother Ray of Team 3D was involved too. Do you find that your talent might have issues with these guys coming in, or are they like, I'm happy to have them here, they're helping us grow the product?
Well, if you're talking to me as the promoter, do I need to put on my Sally Boy outfit, the Fight Up the Slam outfit, or a three-piece suit? Which one do you want me to wear?
Wear whatever you want. You can be Bruno
Sassy. I'm gonna put on my three-piece suit, or I'll just put on my camouflage shorts and my Fight Up the Slam shirt. Well, you know, as a promoter, I find it easy. You know, a lot of the guys, just from, you know, this is my 22nd year in, so, I mean, I got along with a lot of the guys, so it's out of friendship, though. You know, I'll call them, like, you know, with us and Dusty, I mean, we go back a ways, so it was real easy, you know, to put Dustin on and Dusty to talk. I've known him a bit, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm great friends with him, but I've known him, you know, from going around him, obviously, bigger star than I ever could dream to be, but I don't find it difficult, you know, if you just treat people with respect and honesty, you know, and just, you know, explain this is a deal, this is what it's going to be, and we need you on this date, and, you know, you're going to be in there with another guy who's safe and sound and really good and, you know, a true professional, and you just need you to go out there and compete and do the best you can, and you do good business. You know, it's really easy to deal with people. So, yeah, I don't find it difficult at all.
Okay. Being as that, I know you were a performer for many years, and we have a friendship going back that many years as well. Take us through the creative process of actually creating Coastal Championship Wrestling. Was it you solo? Was it you and Tilly? Was it someone? How did the company come to be in the early part of this decade?
Well, I'm going to have to just really shoot from the hip on this one without holding anything back. The whole reason it was me, Dan Evans, and Tilly, because it's always been us from the get-go. We're just kind of tired of just people being shady, lying, not treating the boys the way they needed to be treated, just trying to get one over on people. And people were coming just left and right, says, hey, when are you going to open up a school? When are you going to do your shows? And finally, I didn't want to at first. I was like, you know what, man, I'm one of the boys. I'm going to want to show up an hour beforehand, do my thing, and leave. But then, you know, I kind of almost felt a responsibility of saying, you know, man, there's just too many shady people out here. Why don't we just do this thing and just treat the boys the way they need to be treated, and let's start doing stuff and just really do it the way, you know, instead of sitting back and griping about it, let's just do it. So, you know, we ended up opening up a school, and we ended up opening shows, and obviously you're not going to draw nothing when you first open. So it was really just barely anything. Our first show was good because obviously everybody invites their family, their friends, and goes. And then the next couple of shows were just dismal as far as attendance. But we, you know, we built it, you know, from 40 people all the way up to an average of 4 or 5, even 6, and we've even broken 1,000 a couple of times. It's just been tough, you know, and a lot of times, you know, you lose money. You know, you invest anything you make, you invest back in the company, hopefully to try to make a profit. You know, and hey, other times you win. Hey, we made a little bit of money. Let's pay everybody a little bit extra, put a little in our pockets, we're good to go. and, you know, put stuff aside and save it for other shows and say, all right, let's take this much and put it towards this one, put a little more advertising, try to draw more people in, and just give people, you know, a really good product. So,
now, being as I have no...
started.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's pretty much why we started. It was me, Dan, and Tilly, and we just said, let's just do this thing, and let's do it how we want to be treated. Let's just run it that way, and this is the deal. We're going to have a, you know, someone actually booking, and I actually booked for a very brief time in the beginning, and then I don't want to be the booker. I don't want to be the say-all. Right now, I've got, you know, Dave Johnson's been doing it for the longest, a former member of the Blackheart. You know, he's been doing this 20-something years, been to Japan, been to Memphis, WCW, he's been all around. He has total and all say. I don't even have my own. He has, even in my stuff, I go to him and say, okay, what do you need from me? What do I need to do? Because if I won't give him the respect, how can I ask other people to give him the respect? So he has total and everything. I do all the business stuff as far as, all right, well, and Dan. I can't take anything away from Dan. Dan does... My God, he does so, so much. It wouldn't even be around if it weren't for Dan. Oh. And then Tilly always adds the, well, this is going to work. This isn't going to work. That's not good. We need to change this. So, you know, me, it's more the business. Let's get the building. This is how much it is. This is the advertising. Okay, let's go with this instead of this. This part's working. This isn't. How are we going to get the DVDs out there? All right, let's change up the town a little bit. Let's, you know, so that's more of what I do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave handles all the stuff. As far as the show is concerned, we're going to use this guy, this guy, this guy. This is how we're going to do this. And I let Dave run with that. If he has an idea, run with it.
Since I really don't care what people think of me or not, you mentioned shady people. That wouldn't happen to be a certain credit card fraud person named Bobby Rogers you're mentioning, would it?
Well, you know what, man? I don't want to talk about, you know, bad about anybody. I've buried all my hatchets and all my things with people. It's just, you know, some people, you know, weren't, or still are, whatever, you know, if things weren't on the level, it's just, you know, a matter of, we're just not going to do things that way. And, I mean, I've buried my hatchet with everybody, you know, anybody that I've had stuff with, and I don't hold no grudges. My whole thing is, you know what, go live your lives, and I'm not just pointing him out or anything like that. I don't want to talk bad. He did his thing, and that company did very well. You know,
yep,
brought a lot of people
was
in,
really good.
Put a lot of people to work, which is a very, very good thing. It was time for us to do ours. And there's just so many guys out there that are like, hey, man, we're going to run a show, man. Ain't nobody going to get paid except me. They don't tell you that. And it's like, I'm not with that. That's just not cool. You know, so that's why we did our thing. But, yeah, I'm not going to pick on that situation, which, you know, obviously there were some good parts and there were some bad parts. Just, you know, it had to come to an end for, you know, the reasons that, obviously, everybody knows. But if they continue to do stuff, hey, man, go make $1 million. Go make nothing. Go make whatever you got to do. Just do it.
877-588-9877. Option 1 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. You can also Skype Sir Rockin. He is our tech producer. Or you can join us in the Wild Talk Radio Network chat room. As mentioned in the opening, you and Tilly have been a tag team for a very long time, be it as the main event mafia, security, or Phi Delta Slam. Talk about how that team came to be, because I've seen you guys in person, and as a frat duo, you guys are just evil, the stuff you've done to people over the years. But how did the team come to be?
Well, it was me and Dan actually started first, and, you know, when you're first starting out, you know, you're always trying to find an identity, like, oh, God, what are we going to do? Am I going to be a cowboy like everybody, or what am I going to be, a biker? So you try to find out what you are, and at that time, you know, it was just, you know, you're sitting there wearing a college sweatshirt, you're wearing a hat, you're like, well, I like college, and it's pretty fun, and then we slowly just developed the character, like, oh, my God, Animal House. And then, you know, I ended up coming up with the name. And then I really felt that, you know, in order to be a fraternity, it can't be two. We needed more. And I knew Tilly already. And I said, man, you know what? Tilly would really fit the John Belushi. I mean, he hits it right on the head, you know? And he did. And we ended up taking him in. And just as things progressed, It just became really me and Tilly after, you know, Dan had, you know, decided to kind of stop wrestling and just kind of do more of the promoting stuff and doing other things. And me and Tilly kind of, you know, we never really parted ways at the Rios because we're all still friends, just it ended up really me and Chili kind of taking off with it. But Dan was always the better worker. He is to this day, and then people kind of look at me like I'm crazy. He is the best, and I mean, think about the people I've been in the ring with. He is the best match psychology wrestler I've ever been in there with, ever.
Wow.
If it's a one match, what do I do? His match psychology and his just knowing what to do when and how to put matches together, how to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do in the match. Bruno, this is what you need to, this is how we're going to do it. Dan is the best. I mean, there's people that have been really good and big stars made big money. Dan is unbelievable. I still go to him for advice. Still to this day, I said, man, Dan, what do I do in this situation? Oh, you should have done this. If you did this time, you would have seen this, and this would have happened. So, I mean, he never really got the credit that was deserved to him. He's definitely twice the worker me until he ever worked. And that's how the fight up to Slam came. We ended up getting a break with TNA, you know, through Dusty Rhodes, who just, you know, he took a huge liking to us. And it was just funny because one day we're at a Legends thing and we're hanging with Dream Goof. Let me tell you boys, y'all have your costumes. I was like, tomorrow night you better be at the pay-per-view and ready. I was like, what? You better be there. So, you know, you go there and, oh, guess what? We're on the pregame show or the pre-match pay-per-view and we're on. We're like, okay, I guess we're here. So we did that for a little bit. The company, it just really wasn't working out. You know, that whole gimmick. So they kept us around in the back and we were helping out, you know, at go position and just helping out with producing pre-tapes and stuff. And a couple years after, because we've been there since 05, out of the blue, Vince Russo, who I know a lot of the sheets have just always blast Vince, but he is just one of the best people I've ever met in this business. He really, really is just genuine person. He just said to me out of the blue one day, he says, hey, can you look different? I go, what? What do you mean? He goes, just next taping, just come back different. And we had ended up having like 3 or 4 weeks off. And so I go home and my wife's a hairdresser and I said, make me look different. So sat in the chair, took away the bleach blonde, went dark, grew the beard, dyed the beard, you know, looked like a fat Steve Blackman out there. And I barely ate anything the whole month of December. I mean, I just was starving and I dropped 30 pounds. And I walk in, it was about 4 weeks later, I walk into the taping and, you know, and I have my place because we have a production meeting, everybody kind of sits in the same spot, you know. And, you know, people are looking at me like, what the hell are you sitting in Bruno's seat for? You know, and I'm sitting in the hallway and they're looking at me, people walking by, and until I said something, they look at me, double take me, go, oh my God, Bruno? I go, hey, what's the matter? Come on, I'm just looking different, buddy. And then later on, you know, he had, you know, Vince said, he goes, I got an idea. He says, you know, would you guys mind, being Kurt Angle's personal security. And I said, let me think.
Don't want to do it.
God, where's my motivation? In a heartbeat. I said, are you kidding me? I said, bro, give me a broom. I'll sweep up if you want me to. In a heartbeat. You know, just stand next to the greatest wrestler of all time. Yeah, I think I can do that. You know, so yeah, it was a no-brainer. And then we were just, you know, put some pre-tapes. We ended up walking Kurt to the ring. And that's kind of how Rocco and Sally Boy just came about.
Now, how did it actually come to be that you guys became what's known in the business as with the gorilla position? Because
after when the Fight Out the Slam thing wasn't working out, and obviously the internet just you know, pretty much just bashed the whole idea of it, which
I didn't.
So everyone had their opinion. I'm cool and I don't read that stuff. So I'm like, oh, whatever, you know. You know, they had said that was really, you know, they had changed bookers, you know, Dream had left and I guess he was going up north to do his thing and there really wasn't anything really for us. And my whole thing is I've been from day one, bro, give me a broom. You need me to sweep up, you need me to clean it back. Whatever you want me to do, I don't care. I'm here. And There was talk about, oh man, you know, God, I really need somebody to fill this position until he overheard it. And, you know, at the time it was, Don Harris, Ronnie and Don Harris were helping out a lot with TNA. Just awesome, great guys. You know, until he overheard it, he goes, you need someone to do something? He goes, yeah, we're looking for somebody to do. He goes, well, shit, just two entryways in TNA. I'll do one, Bruno will do the other. How does that sound? He goes, really? He goes, yeah. So then they showed us how to do it, and that's what we've been doing since then. So yeah, not a problem. What do you need? You need me to do that? I'll do that. That's cool. I'm in. And that's how we got that spot.
Now,
588-977 is the way to join us on All in World of Wrestling Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik, joined by Bruno Sassi, our guest, and Spug from Wrestle Talk Radio has joined us as well tonight, and we appreciate him being here as well. Go ahead, Spug. I know you got something.
How did Spug get his name, first of all? How did Spug
oh, God.
Get the word Spug?
All right. This is a very long, short story.
Okay, we'll kind of make it short, though. Kind of make a long story short, but really good.
Like I said, this is a long, short story.
Okay.
When I was 17, I wanted to be a wrestler. And what do you do when you're 17? You get together with a bunch of your buddies and you wrestle around in the backyard, and that's what we did. And we even made a couple of the local newspapers for what we did. And a guy had come up to me and said, you know, you should really look at getting trained because nobody will respect you if you just wrestle in a backyard. And I had
so much for saying that.
And I had no clue. I was 17 and I was bouncing around on old tires and plywood and a tarp and loving it. You know?
Oh, of course.
And so I'm like, yeah, whatever. And about a year later, he came up again and said, you really should go look into training. And, of course, today he's one of my best friends. But, you know, he gets me into training, and he says, all right, you need a gimmick name. And, of course, the band Mudvayne was real hot at that time, and I'm still a big fan of them. And the lead singer's name was Spag. And I said, well, can I just call myself that? And he said, no, it's already copyrighted. He said, tell you what, we're going to change a letter around. We'll call you Spug. And I went, huh? And he said, yeah, we'll call you Spug. He says, you could be insane. We'll give you a mask, a little jumpsuit. You can be out of the insane asylum. People will love it. And he was right. He was right. They loved it. And it stuck. And it's stuck ever since.
That's awesome. Isn't that funny how wrestling characters are developed? Hey, you look like a Spug. Okay, you're Spug. $1 million later, you're Spug.
You know, you've been in the business for 22 years, and I preach at the top of my lungs on any show that will let me scream at them that wrestling psychology is a lost art within the business, and it really
is. Oh my
god,
so true.
One of the best matches that I've ever seen was in a promotion I was working for. It was our champion, our heavyweight champion, and the number one contender had a match that was 15 minutes long, and it was three bumps. And it was fantastic. It was 15 minutes long, three bumps, and at the end of it, the crowd hated the number one contender who was a heel and loved the champ, and it was great. And I just stood there in awe of how they did that, because I've never been good at psychology. It's just one of my things that I get the concept of, and I get it, but I can't pull it off. What is some of your advice to newer guys in the business of how to do it?
You know what, man? With wrestling psychology and what I tell people, everything, every movie you see, everything you see is all about the hero. And then wrestling is no different. It's all about the hero. It has nothing to do with the bad guy. As long as the hero is a star, whatever role you're in, that's all I try to do. You know, hey, great, if I'm the hero, beautiful, that's fun. And if I'm not, that's fine. And if it's my turn to go in there against somebody that's awesome and he mops me in 20 seconds, hey, that's great too. You know, whatever works, it's all about the hero in any movie you see and anything you do. And in wrestling, it's just no different. You know, So that's, I mean, in a nutshell, it's pretty simple.
And we like to tell stories around here on the WTR network. And you've already graced...
Stories? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You've graced us with a couple of yours. I'm going to try and make this one as PG rated as I can. And
you need to.
And I'm going to ask you if you've ever had any moments like this. But I was wrestling.
Alan has his finger on the dump button, right?
Oh yeah.
No,
oh,
that's the Rock that's got his finger. Sure. Rock is ready because he knows we're PG, and they're on WTR on Sunday nights. They're like, they passed XXX a long time ago with their language. Shane Douglas is looking at them, going, "I don't even talk like that."
Thank God, 8 second delay. There we go.
But. I was wrestling a good friend of mine who goes by the name of DL Havoc, and we were in the middle of the ring, and usually him and I like to go real technical because it just fits us better. And he has me around the waist in a amateur waist lock, and I'm down kind of in the mounted position. On my hands, I'm trying to grab his back ankle or something, and he spins around, and I feel something slap me in the side of the head.
Uh-oh.
Now, you all can imagine what slapped me in the side of the head.
Oh, hey, there we go.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? And he spun around again and did it again. We get the match over, and we get in the back, and he's on the ground, dying. Just dying. And I'm like, dude, what was that? And he goes, you don't want to know. And I'm like, no, seriously, what was that? And he looks at me and goes, I just smacked you in the head with my... And I'm like, really?
Oh. Really?
You popped wood in the middle of the match and it hit me in the head.
He just screamed out, excuse me, while I whip this out.
I mean, we've seen some moonings at events, but I don't know if I've never seen the front part pop out anywhere.
I mean, have you ever had any, not, I won't say anything like that, but anything that crazy ever happened to you in the middle of a ring or in the back?
Well, I can't say that I've ever had a male genitalia thrown at me, but so there's always that situation where somebody's going to just horseplay and have fun, and man, it's just all a matter of just having fun. So yeah, but then, no, I can't say there's ever been a body part that's supposed to be covered thrown at me. No.
So glad I'm the only one that's ever happened to.
Yeah, they kind of save that for guys trying to get spots. No, I'm kidding. I should shoot like that. I should shoot like that.
Yeah, I know I'm about to probably have Stephen Godfrey and Dixie Carter and Terry Taylor rain down on my head, and if they are listening, hi guys, thanks for firing Ross Foreman, made my year a lot better.
Ross is a good dude. What are you getting on
right for? Sure, whatever you say. This past Thursday on Impact, fans got to see you and Tilly come out during the ECW, they're called Hardcore Superstars. I saw that on the TNAWrestling.com site. As someone that's there every week, take us through that whole mindset that they're going in right now as a fan, because you obviously are a fan in some form or fashion. Is the live audience at the Impact Zone in this gimmick? Because for weeks we've seen them sitting in the audience, and then it was one, then it was two, then it was a bunch of them in the They're Coming thing. When you guys hit the ring for that whole brawl, do you hear that all going on? And take us through the last few weeks at TV. Is the crowd digging this as well?
I tell you what, it's been unbelievably exciting because nobody really knows anything. It's not like, oh, come on, you're back there. You know, no, nobody knows anything. And the people are getting into it. And, I mean, come on, ECW made such a huge impact on this wrestling business. And just the... I don't know. I don't even want to say tease or definite. Just the influence of those guys showing up. I mean, you got just major stars, you know, that came out of ECW. Just to have that influence there, and it's like, okay, well, who's going to side where and who's going to go where, we don't even know. And you could feel the buzz, and it was, I don't think the watching the show did the justice of being there. It was electric. It was hot. It was really, really hot. And there was a ton of stuff that didn't make the air that happened afterwards. And it was definitely hot, dude, to have those guys in there and see who's siding where and who's like, oh my God, that guy's gonna, is he siding with them? Does he hate TNA? Does he, or, you know, or is he just defending his friends? And there's really no definite, you know, who's where. It's just, hey, these guys are here. You know, this is their thing. And it was electric, man. It really was. And for me, I just think it's great to, you know, anything that's going to put more people to work, I'm a huge fan of. Because I'm big on, you know, let's get the guys paid and get them as much work as possible. And to me, I see that. I see that, God, if they're going to do this and we're doing, you know, what we're doing, and shoot, if it's good for everybody and good for the fans and good for, shoot, let's do this thing. So, I thought there was a lot of electricity there. There was a lot of there's that sense of, oh my God, what's going to happen next, which is cool, and that's what you really want. And it's for me, it's been great to just even be a part of something, even the small part that, you know, that I contribute. I thought it was great.
877-588-9877 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. You hit option one that way. You can Skype Sir Rockin' if you're a member of the Skype network. You mentioned your love for the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, who at one point was in charge of creative at TNA with Vince Russo. When he left and went to WWE and has also been involved here in FCW, did he at any point ever come to you and Tilly and say, and I don't do a Dusty Rhodes, I can kind of do one, but did he ever come to you and say, hey, baby, I'm going up north, you come with me and I'll get you a spot? Or was it just, was there never a conversation in that light?
No, there was, you know, there was a couple things that didn't work out to, you know, and I'm not really going to share because I don't want to, things weren't really said, but things were there that it could have happened, and in my opinion should have happened, but didn't. But you know what? Me and Tilly always said, and we will always say, we're going to stick to the one that brought us to the dance, and that's nothing against what's going on up there, because I'm a huge supporter of what's going on there and what we're doing. But we've always said we're sticking to the one that brought us to the dance, and even if it's in something minor. So I don't want to say, oh my God, they had a big contract and they turned it down. No, that's not what happened. And I'm not going to say there was never anything, because there was things brewing. It just didn't really work out. And the best thing for us, the best way that I could go to sleep at night and wake up and look in the mirror and be comfortable was to be true to myself and Tilly to be true to herself and do what we need to do. And the ones that brought us to the dance, I mean, Dream got us in, but TNA gave us an opportunity. And TNA could easily said no. And Dream could have said no at the time. And, you know, things were cooking. They just didn't, it just didn't pan out the way, I think maybe for the best, maybe for worse, I don't know. But you know what? I'm really happy where I'm at. You know, I like what we're doing there. I like TNA. I really enjoy what we're doing. I enjoy the owners. I enjoy the management. I enjoy the guys that are there. I have a great time there. You know, and I know that, you know, you're in the wrestling business and you have to be bitter. And I'm not. I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm there. And if I can contribute a little, awesome. If I can contribute more, that's great too. I'd love to contribute more, but that's really not for me to say. Pick or choose. It's a matter of, what do you need me to do? You know, I've owned my own businesses. I've managed businesses before. And you know what? I needed guys that were going to do whatever it took. You know, if it's, hey, man, wash dishes, I'll wash dishes. Hey, would you mind cleaning stuff off the floor of the bathroom? Okay, if no one will do it, I'll do it. You know, and those are the guys that I kept around, were guys that do that, because I did that myself. So whatever a company needs. And if it's, you know, one day with WWE, and that's cool. But right now, you know, it's with TNA. I enjoy what they're doing. There's an electricity about it. You know, I like the direction they're going. You know, we're just, it's just really, really cool to be there. You know, to be with these big stars, you know, to be in something like the Main Event Mafia, have these all former world champions that could have easily said, who are these two bums? You know, we're not going to work with these guys. You know, we're stars. They embraced us. And so how could I say, oh, well, this, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going up north, because No, it's like that. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world when Booker and Nash and Steiner and those guys said, "Nah, bro, well, you're part of us now." I thought that was just really cool. It was just unbelievable. I just felt it was a great respect for, you know, two guys that never even made a hundredth or a thousandth of the money they made or stardom they achieved. And TNA's been good to us. So, you know what? We're here. And I'm not saying I'm not going to entertain any offers. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. And I'll let everything fall the way it's going to fall. And I love Dream, and I keep in contact with them. And I speak to Dustin and Cody, and I love those guys up there. You know, I love the fact that MVP's up there. You know, because he'd broken in down in South Florida with us, and it'd be great to be there. But right now we're with TNA, and that's cool. And I'm there as a team player, as a company guy, to push them, you know, help push the machine forward, you know. And if one day things don't work out and I'm no longer there, then you know what, I have had a great time. And if I'm there for the long time, that's beautiful. Let me do what I need to do to help the company go forward, and everything else will work out in the long run. And that's just kind of my way of being.
You're listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio, and we're on with Bruno Sassi. And before I get to my question, sir, I just want to say, next time we talk to Cody, please tell him to stop imitating super gay Randy Orton.
Ooh.
The whole wow. Dashing thing has just got to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
I will definitely mention it to him.
Yeah. Sure. Tell him some jerk off who's on internet radio with, you know, 9 people who listen.
Hey.
thinks that you should drop your gimmick. That'll go over real well. I'll have Cody Rhodes showing up on my door to beat my ass.
That's great.
But anyway, you worked the gorilla position at TNA, and you've been in the business for 22 years. You are a promoter. You've seen a lot of young guys come and go. What is the one thing, from the look to psychology to drive to whatever, what is the one thing that young guys today lack?
Desire.
Wow.
We would get in a car from Miami, Florida, drive all the way from Anniston, Alabama, because there was a show that we weren't even on. And we'd say, how many guys can we fit in a car? Let's go. And maybe they'll throw us in the battle royal. Maybe we can go get beat up for 10 seconds. Let's just go. We always had pictures. We always had tapes. We always had the guys today. My God, it's pulling teeth to get them to drive a half hour. You know, I don't understand that mindset. You know, it's, dude, whatever. Maybe we could take the ring down. Maybe we just got in the car and drove. You know, I ended up buying a car knowing that I would have to sleep in it one day. And it didn't bother me. I didn't mind if they came and took my truck. I didn't care if they, you know, things got, I didn't look at it like that. To me it was, I don't know. I was never put off. I walked out of, God, I can't tell you how many jobs I went through because, hey man, you can't take off tonight. Really? Bye. You know, there's a show. I'm not even on it. Now it's like, my God, show up an hour earlier or show up this time because we need, oof, like pulling teeth. So I had desire.
You mentioned. Yeah, to mention desire is a great follow-up to a question I was about to ask. Someone that had the desire is someone you just mentioned, the stage name of Montel Vontavious Porter. We knew him here in the Florida scene as Antonio Banks. Truth or rumor to this story, you in some form or fashion helped that MVP English. I master it. I'm good with it. The MVP character, because when he wrestled here for you guys and for FOW and IPW Hardcore with Ron Namey's group, he was just Antonio Banks. He was a badass character. And then next thing you know, I get calls and I'm like, you gotta check out some Deep South tapes and see what Banks is doing with this character. Talk about just, cause he was trained by, if I remember right, he was trained by you guys at Body Slam U.
Yeah, he was, you know, what he called, MVP was trained, was broke into the business by Daryl Davis and Soul Man Alex G. They were training him in Miami, and I was down there training too. Then that kind of like, that school kind of went south. I had opened mine, and I had already been training with him and helping him. Those were the guys that brought him in and broke him in, and then he was training with us and refining his skills. So it was, Daryl Davis, who was known as Primetime, wrestled a lot of indie stuff down in South Florida. Soulman Alex G, teaching him all the moves. Dave Johnson taught him a lot about the business of wrestling, of this is what you're going to see. This is what's going to happen. He was the bad cop, you know, and I was the one teaching him more of this is how wrestling is supposed to be done. This is how you need to do. This is how you need to comport yourself. This is how things need to be done. This is how, you know, so it was really all of us had a huge, and Norman Smiley, God, I can't believe Norman was teaching him, this is how guys that make money, this is how it happens in the big time. So all those guys between Primetime and Alex break them in, showing them the stuff, me helping them and showing them this is how the business is supposed to go, and Dave being the bad cop of working him and saying, this is what I need from you, this, and then, you know, with Norman Smiley, who's just an unbelievable technical wrestler, he's just amazing. And he has wind. I think he can blow anybody up. I don't know. Him and Low-Key probably have the best wind I've ever seen. You know, he had, you know, shown him. But the MVP character, yeah, it was me and him that thought of it. I kept telling him what, because he wanted to come up with a character. We threw some things around, and I kept telling him that I kept seeing him in, like, that Under Armour thing, the Under Armour character, that guy. And he was telling me, he says, yeah, you know, something with sports. You know, the guys are wearing their three-piece suits, get off the bus, the headphones, and I kept seeing Deion Sanders and Terrell Owens, and we were thinking, and we were kind of coming together with, it was one night, it was the middle of the night outside the school, and, you know, I said, let's sleep on it, and he had really created the character, and I was feeding off it, you know, saying, this is what I see in you, the attitude of Ray Lewis, that Terrell Owens, that there's something there. Came back the next day, and I came up with the MVP name because Steve Lombardi a long time ago did a character in WWE where he was wearing a baseball outfit, and he called himself MVP, and it was short-lived. I mean, even though he's been there forever, Lombardi. But he did an MVP. It was called MVP. I remember that. And I said, bro, the name is MVP. You've got to come up with the name, whatever the M stands for, whatever the P, whatever the, you know, you come up with the actual name, but it's got to be MVP, and it's got to be whatever, you know. And obviously, you know, you came up with Montavious, all that stuff. So that's how it was created outside the school right there in the parking lot, you know, because we were always just there from beginning to end, you know. It'd be, because, you know, I've got kids and a family, so I'd sometimes have to go 4 or 5 in the morning to train, or I have to sneak out and go at 1 in the morning to train and stuff like that. And he'd show up after work, before work. I said, bro, what are you doing? He goes, what are you doing here? And then we'd train. So we were just always training. That's how we just started throwing ideas, you know, hey, what if the match were like this? We could do this, and they'll do this. And that's how. And then just sitting outside talking, you know, just talking shop. And not just, hey, man, I really like that wrestler. It wasn't that kind of talk. It was more like, what do I need to do to get to the next level? How can I prepare? How can I? And that's what we'd spend hours talking about then. That's how the MVP gimmick was created. And then up there, obviously, they took off and polished and made it great and put it behind the machine. And it's, you know, it's definitely my money. It's amazing. I just love it.
So you're Bruno talking says, about...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just have one more question.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You're talking about breaking MVP into the business and training with him, and there's a lot of interesting, if not downright weird and diabolical ways to break people into the business or haze them
anymore.
In.
Not anymore, not these days, but yeah.
Not anymore, but I quickly remember when I was broken, the guy who trained me, a guy by the name of Nightmare Jimmy Lee. We were at his school and we're running the ropes and everything, and he's just doing basic stuff. And he says, "All right," he said, "put 3 minutes on the clock." And I went, "For what?" And there were six other guys in the gym. And he says, "You'll see." And I said, all right. And so the guy puts 3 minutes on the clock, and he says, all right, go. And then next thing I know, I've got six guys in the ring running at me, and I had to do the best I could to fight him off for 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. I'm like, yeah. And I was just wondering, what was the way, if you can bring it up now, because some of the older guys still won't talk about the way they were broke in. But
this way, if breaking into business today was like it was, and God, I'm talking like I'm 100 years old, and I'm not. I'm in my 30s. If breaking in today was like it was, I mean, I broke in 88, but even before that, 80% of the guys today would not be in the business. 80%, and that might be, you know, underestimating it. Just it was. Now, I mean, even, you know, I go to schools and it's just nicey-nice and baby, and if you don't do that, you know, people will quit, you can't survive, and you go, man, we used to get it handed to us. I mean, you'd go in there, I was 17, fresh 17, starting, you know, and I was in there with guys in their 40s and 30s, and I thought that's just the way it was supposed to be, you know, and we'd go in there and it's like, you know, you say, okay, this is, you know, do this, and try this and walk this way, okay, and this is your basic wrestling takedown and blah, blah, blah. All right, then, you know, he'd go inside and the guys that had been around a little bit would be there, and they literally beat the hell out of you. I mean, there was kicks to the face, kicks to the ribs. I mean, it was just, and then you'd leave going, oh, my God, this is the way this is supposed to be, and you're like, oh, well, you know, in a man's world, you gotta, and I was too, I don't know if it was just too stubborn or too stupid or just like, you know,
is that the case with all of us that stick around?
Oh, man, people would leave.
You don't know if you're too stubborn or too stupid?
I think so. I think that's the way. But, man, we would literally, it was open hand slaps to your side, just slaps to the face, punches. I mean, it was just, I'm like, oh, my God, it's not, where's the takedown? It wasn't takedown. You're getting thrown down. And however, whatever happens, happens. And good to see you if you never come back. But then, you know what? You kind of earned the respect of those guys by not complaining and staying in there and doing it and coming back the next day and the next day and doing whatever and not saying, hey, man, those guys just beat me, you know. It was just a matter of, okay, if that's the way it is. And little by little, like, okay, this kid's going to stick around. Then it's more like, all right, you're kind of one of us now. So it was almost like, I guess, an initiation, but I didn't know it was initiation. I just figured that's the way it was, you know, and just break a bone, break that out, get back in there. Like, bro, my fingers are broke. Hey, shut up. Get back in there. Oh, okay.
Would you like to
and keep working, you know?
Would you like to see it go back to the days of broken bones? And
No. I definitely don't, you know, there's no reason to be intentionally trying to kill somebody. But, I mean, I also don't believe in babying somebody. And I don't baby the people, you know, where I'm at. We're going to do stuff, and if you're going to leave, leave. You're going to quit, quit. I don't open up any of my knowledge until I know you're going to be there. You know, I'll show you basic, okay, do this, that. And I'm not going to physically beat anybody up. My God, I'll get beaten up most of the time. You know, I'm not tough at all. But well, once I know that the desire's there and the heart's there and they do everything I've asked them to do, then little by little I'll open up a little more to them and I'll teach them all the moves, but then I'll show them the business and how this is done. Because, I mean, it's got to be 49 out of 50 people will quit. One will stick around, you know, for a couple years. Now, I'll say three stick around, then after like a year or two, the one or two will fall off, and only one really sticks around who really becomes somebody, whether it's indie or even a little bit more than that. But it's tough. You got to see if you're going to stick it out. There's a lot of heartbreak in this business. It's a lot of, you know, you really have to develop thick skin. You got to, you know, almost lose your ego, you know, and it took me a long time to do that. I made a lot of bad decisions because of ego and pride and stupid decisions. Now that I look back, you know, that probably cost me a ton of money. But, you know, until that goes, you know, until you lose your ego, you know, you won't stick around.
So the days of like Hiromatsuda breaking Hulk Hogan's leg in the Tampa Sportatorium area, that's long gone. You won't see it. If you, I know the way you guys train, but if you heard of other training schools being that way, bringing the guy in Austin Aries style and smacking the daylights out of the kid and going, now you want it, you come back.
Well, I tell you what, I'd put it this way. If, and I know he would never do it because he's just a gentleman. If Kurt Angle opened the school and he smacked you around, he has every right to. He's earned that spot. If Ric Flair decided to slap you around, you sit there and you take it because he's earned that. Some guy who's done a couple indie shows and has been around 3-4 years and then wrestles 4 or 5 times a year, he does not have the ability or the respect to go in there and do what he has to do. When you've drawn some money and you've been somewhere and people know who you are, and I'm not saying that's even me because, my God, the only money I draw is if you give me a pen and paper. But, you know, we have been to certain places and we do have the respect, and I wouldn't do that to somebody unless you're a big name and a big player in this, like a Hiro Matsuda was, you know, like Professor Malenko was, like, you know, Brad Rangins or any legit tough guys. If they do it, they've earned the right to do that. But and I'm not saying anything about Austin Aries. I don't want to come off like I'm bashing because I'm not. I think Austin's great. But
right.
Anybody that just opens up a school because they couldn't finish school and like, I'll open up my own school and make some money. When they decide to slap you around, you know what? It's time to call some people in for those guys because they're not really a part of this business. They pretend to be part of this business. So those guys that have earned the right to do that, you go to Booker's school, Booker T in Texas. If he decides to do that, he's earned the respect. He's a former world champion. He is who he is. So those guys, if Bubba and Devon decide to slap you around, they've earned that respect. They're a 23-time world champion, the greatest tag team of all time. If they do that, they've earned the respect to slap you around. You sit there, you take it, and you learn the business.
So and probably guys, say thank you.
Yeah, oh, I would too. You know what I mean? A guy that does that, yeah, thank you very much, not a problem. You know, but yes, yeah, some nobody Joe Blow opens up an ABC wrestling school and decides to rough you up. Guess what? I'm waiting after class for you.
Now you talk about your Ric Flair and the Dudleys and so on and so forth. If they were to open up a school, they've earned the right to slap you around, and I agree with you.
And I'm not saying to slap people around. Please don't say, hey, girl says slap
right.
Around, so let's go slap people around. I'm not saying to do that.
Right.
But I'm just saying if it happened. You have to earn the right to be a little forceful if that were to happen.
Absolutely. How do you feel about guys like New Jack or individuals from CZW, you know, the real niche, hardcore IWA Mid-South type individuals who have either opened up schools or claim their legend status within the business when they really haven't done anything?
God, I'd have to take it case by case. Like a guy like New Jack, I've been on shows with New Jack, and you know, you hear stories. New Jack's been cool every time I've been with him.
Same here.
He's nothing but cool. I mean, I think, my God, I've heard stories, but you know what? He's cool with me. I had no problem with the guy on the show. I thought he was really cool, kind of funny, and I thought he got the people into it and excited. You know, he was exactly what was advertised, and he went out there and did what he did. So I'm like, yeah, I got no problem with that, but a lot of guys, it'd have to be on an individual basis because I've never really followed that CZ, and then all the like IWA and like the Rottens, I think did that, but I never really followed that. For me, a lot of the wrestling has just changed, and what I fell in love with was, you know, that old Memphis, that old Mid South, that old NWA, TBS, even before that Georgia and Florida wrestling. That's the stuff I love and just enjoy watching. And I kind of miss it, you know. I kind of miss that that's not here, you know. So all the new stuff that's come up the last, you know, 15 or so years, it's changed a lot. And I like it because in order to be in it, if you're not a fan and you're in it, I mean, there's something wrong. But I enjoy it. But those were the things that I unbelievably fell in love with, and that's why I got into it. But, yeah, I'd have to take those guys open it up, like, on an individual basis. So I don't know if, like, the guys can work or not or how they handle themselves. So I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, those guys are no good. I don't know them. So I can't, you know, I can't say that.
He is Bruno Sassi, the creator of Coastal Championship Wrestling here in Florida. They have an event this coming weekend that we'll talk about in a couple minutes. You mentioned being a fan of the older situations, being here that we are the home here in Florida of the legendary Championship Wrestling of Florida and the Grahams. Just in the time frame that you and Dan and Tilly and everybody opened CCW, you've seen a lot of promotions in Florida come and go, like IPW Hardcore came and went, Joe Price's NWA Florida came and went. You've got Full Impact Pro doing shows on the West Coast up in the Crystal River area. Joey Machete's Pro Wrestling Fusion exists sometimes in the same market as you. is it hard for you as the promoter to counter-program these guys, or do you not even look at the product that Sal or Joey or Steve Madison and Buck Quarterman are doing with Wrestling for a Cause? Do you even look at these people, or do you book against them?
No, I don't. I mean, and I don't mean it to be a shot, because it's definitely not a shot. I wish everyone the best. I hope they make $1 billion. But does the Dallas Cowboys, when they run their football team, do they look at the Cleveland Browns and go, oh, my God, how can we be like the Cleveland Browns? You know, I mean, or does the Cleveland Browns run their team and go, oh, my God, look at the Bengals? You know, I do
hey,
my thing. I don't worry
watch
about
it.
Everybody else.
Hold well, on, you got a Cleveland Browns fan on the line.
Oh, easy now. Yeah, with your,
watch
Jake
it.
DeLome. Well, I'm not going to rank on Cleveland because I always want them to do good, and I know a lot of people like Cleveland. But, you know, with Jake DeLome, they should be really good this year. But, you know, but mainly, you know what? I worry about me. I never worry about what the next guy is doing. I don't really care what they do. And make $1 million, make zero, it's not going to affect me. The only thing I ask of anyone that runs shows is anytime you go to a building, treat it right, because it makes it harder for anybody else to ever go in anywhere. So don't torch the pathway. Just kind of, you know, with the building and treat those people with respect. And whatever kind of show you put on, whether it's, you know, I don't care if it's X-rated or hardcore, whatever it is, whatever you do, you do. I don't. Our shows are PG-13 rated. You know, you're going to see tears and blood and that, but you're not going to hear cussing. And I want old people to come and young people and families, and so we cater to that. You know, you'll see some hardcore stuff, but you're not going to see cussing or, you know, any kind of body parts flying out. It's real simple formula of what we do. So I don't really follow what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I wish them all the best. I don't wish them bad. I wish them the best, but I don't really pay attention to what anybody's. I don't even know when they have shows. People call me and go, "Oh my God, you hear it?" But I don't. When it comes to wrestling, I don't read about it. I don't. I go to work. I do my thing. I worry about my show. How can I make my show good? How can I make it better? We drew 4. I want to draw 450. We drew 450. I want to draw 470. We did this. How do I get the boys more money? How do we bring in more money so we can do this, this, and this? How can we multiply these shows? Okay, do we need to take less shows and make them better? Do we need to make more shows? And so I'm only worried about me, and I know that may sound real selfish and arrogant, but I don't mean it to be that way. But you know what? You got to worry about you first, and when you perfect you, then you can look around and say, okay, what's everybody else doing? So I don't really worry about them. Just don't torch the buildings and the towns. So other mm-hmm. people can go enjoy it. You know, like I got people that are coming into Coral Springs and they try to, you know, because we run a building down there and we've been doing good and people try to come in and, you know, unfortunately for them, you know, they don't do very well. But it's like, you know, just we don't torch the building so people can come in. So if you come in, don't torch it for us. Just kind of do your thing, man. Make it fun. Make it entertaining. Give the people their money's worth and send them on the way and have a good time. Make sure nobody gets hurt out there. You know, wrestle, compete, win, lose, just... Don't go against the paying customer. Don't go against the people that are giving you the building. You know, just have fun with it. You know, be good to the boys. You know, that's my advice to anybody that does their stuff. You know,
when someone goes directly to CCW.MS, the first thing they're going to notice is you have a person who's your unified champion who I personally have a lot of respect for as a performer and a person. I've known him off stage for years. He is international, and I'm not kidding, because if you look him up online, the Tokyo Monster Cahagas, or whatever he's billed as in whatever town you come into, talk about having him as the champion right now. Like I said, I know you're not the main storyline writer, but from a fan's perspective as well, just putting that guy, when Cahagas hits the curtain, usually people are running for their lives because of he comes out in that outfit. Talk about him and him being the main representative of CCW when he travels to other promotions.
Well, right now he holds the belt, and he's having a really good indie run. He's getting to a lot of places, doing a lot of good things, and taking myself out of the wrestler part of it and going into the promoter. It's good for us. Our guy who's the champ is going to different places and competing and winning. And getting noticed and getting in the internet and getting on these different places and traveling. And so for me as a promoter, oh, I love it. This is great. You know, I love when guys do that, you know. As a wrestler, anytime Cahagas steps in the ring with me, I'm going to take that title from him. But, you know, after the 20 stitches he put in my head in December. But, no, as a promoter, I think it's great, man. Go out there. Get that exposure, man. Wrestle everywhere you can. Get your name out there. The more you get, the more people are going to log on. The more people are going to say, wow, this guy's over there. You know, it's beneficial to us. The more exposure he gets and the better the more times you're in the ring, the better you're going to get. And the more exposure you get, the better it is for everybody on that card and everyone on that show. More people know about it. And hopefully we draw bigger crowds because of it.
2 weeks ago, we had this person on, and he's the main reason you and Tatanka were on this show. The legendary Snake Master Abuna Dean is a part of CCW, and when we interviewed him, he brought up the fact that he's actually getting cheered in CCW. What do you attest that to? Do you just attest that to, well, Abuna Dean's a really cute, cuddly guy?
I'd say it's because of the size of his snake.
Hey, now.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, oh, he does. If you go to snakemaster.com, you'll see some snakes that you just go, holy God.
Oh, yeah, I don't mean that in the wrong way, no, but you know what? He's been around longer than I have. He was there with Florida Championship Wrestling with the Purple Haze, Luna Vachon, Kevin Sullivan, you know, old Bob Roop and all them. He's been around since then, you know. We even have, you know, actually Bruce Owens, the referee, who was also in that time, too. And, you know, after a while, the people just start to like you. You know, you're out there and they see you all the time and you've been around and they kind of, you almost become one of their favorites because they see you all the time. So, yeah, he gets his cheers and his boos, you know. So we'll see how it goes. You know, the more people that cheer for him, may have to give Seth Greg his walking papers and call me the Snake Master himself. No, I couldn't do that to Seth.
The event this coming Saturday is at the Mikosuke. Say the name.
You can't say Mikosuke, can you?
No. It's the New Yorker in me. As much as I grew up on Long Island with the Shinnecock tribe and everybody out there, I get here in Florida and I go with Lakuchi. I can get that, but I can't get Mikosuke as a gaming thing.
Are you allowed to say Shinnecock on the radio?
Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know if you were, if that was going to get buzzed too.
No, we're not going to get buzzed for that one. Talk about the event for us.
It's Mikosuke. We're at the casino down in Mikosuke. It's this Saturday night. You know, obviously you've said a bunch of times. In the main event, it's Tatanka, former WWE superstar Tatanka, going to wrestle former CCW heavyweight champion Doc Rivers. It's going to be awesome. I mean, you just look at it, you can see Cowboys versus Indians written all over it. But the Doc is really good. I'm telling you, if Tatanka underestimates him, I mean, Doc is really good. I've been in the ring with him. I was there when the first day that he broke into this business. Doc is really good, and I tell guys he's tough. He's tough as nails too. That's going to be an awesome main event. And then me and Tilly doing Rocco Sally Boy. We've got the Red Devil Fight Team, and as a promoter, I'm going to say these guys should be signed. If people from the WWE are listening, people from TNA are listening, these two kids should be signed. These guys are good. They're young. They're hungry. They're full of desire. These guys deserve a contract. And at some of these big leagues, you need to look at what we're doing. There's a few guys there. I've got JT Flash. Why that kid does not have a contract today is beyond me. I've got Romeo on the show, too. When you see this kid perform, why he is not under a developmental or a contract is beyond me. Now, that's the promoter speaking, and that's not just pushing those guys. It's because they've earned it. We've got the Dirty White Boy on there. He's another one. These kids deserve an opportunity in this business. They've done everything and anything that I've asked them to do, and their attitude is right. Their ability is right. Their everything is right. These guys deserve an opportunity. And put it this way, I don't even have to watch those guys wrestle because I know it's going to be good. And that is an awesome compliment. When I don't have to watch your match because I know it's good. Those guys deserve opportunities. But, you know, we've got the Red Devil Fight Team. They just won the tag team titles from JB Cool and JT Flash in the Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match. It could honestly be the match of the year in CCW. At our last show in Coral Springs, they're the new tag champs. These guys have been on a roll. They work very old school, man. In and out tags. They're quick. You got the power from the one side, the technical wrestling from the other side. They are on you like a barracuda. The second you go down, they are on you. These guys are just hungry and full of desire. But I think me and Rocco are gonna maybe climb that top rope and hit him with the big tsunami splash off the top and take the titles. But the guys are really good. They're super unbelievable talent, and right now they're our tag champs. And for another couple days, they're really good. And but I don't want, they definitely don't have the experience of me and Rocco. Just like on May 15th in Ocala, we did a benefit show for Wayne Hurst, a guy up there who had actually donated his kidney to a complete stranger. And then a couple years later, his kidney went bad. So we raised a bunch of ton of money for him, and we wrestled a Red Devil Fight team with none other than the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, in our corner. And we beat him. We beat those guys. So I think it's going to be a repeat performance this weekend when the Red Devil gets in there with Rocco and Sally, so we can take those tag belts. And after we take those tag belts, we're going to beat Kagus for his belt. Then we're going to take Pablo Marquez, who's another awesome competitor that we have that has a Southeastern Championship, to take his belt, take all the belts, and take it back to the Mafia locker room, wait till the guys get back together.
Nice. www.ccw.ms is the way to find out about this wonderful event. Thank you so much for taking time for us tonight, Bruno Sassy.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. Anytime you guys want me on a show, man, just let me know. I don't mind coming on, man. I really appreciate everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed everything they heard. Check out that website. You guys want to get trained? The Team 3D has their school. We have ours. It's awesome. So please contact one of them if you're doing stuff in the backyards and stuff. Get into a school. Get trained. Be legit. Don't go out there just jumping off roofs and doing crazy stuff. Legitimize what you're doing. Get into a school. Get trained. Break into this business. It's a definite ride. It's very difficult, but it's a definite ride. So, guys,
Bruno,
thank you very much for everything.
All right. Thank you so much again. We appreciate it, Bruno.
All right, guys. Hey, guys, thanks again. And anytime you need me, man, just give me a call.
All right. Bruno Sassy joined us here on All Our World of Wrestling Radio. www.ccw.ms is the way to find out all of that stuff. We're going to take a quick break here. Stay on the line with us for a second, Bruno. We're going to come back with more Online World of Wrestling Radio right after this time out.
On the block, you know what I'm saying? Yo, still, they came around looking for you the other day.
Word,
bust it.
In Palmer, say that I'm a stormy, I go blam. Ali keep on bum bam. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, sign somewhere down the lane. Ali keep on bum bam. Informer, say that I'm a stormy, I go blam. Ali keep on bum bam. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, sign somewhere down the lane. Ali keep on bum bam. He said I'm gonna come in and they blow down my door. Rainy car pass through my window, so they put me in the back of the car at the station. From that point on, I reached my destination. Where the destination reached, and out of heat detention. Where the look down my pants, look up my butt.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is one of those songs I just want to let it play the whole time because Shirley Manson is so hot. Then these guys played it Sunday night and I was going, ah, crap, there went my 90s night out the window. That's number one crush. That's by Garbage. You got to go to the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, the Baz Luhrmann movie that came out in 1996 to find that song. Or if you're like us, you find it online. Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio. This has been, I swear, we're wrapping it up, I promise you. This is the best part of being on this network. I don't have a time restriction, so I can go and go and go, and nobody will care. So thank you to everyone that's been listening in tonight via the Wild Talk Radio Network, either the Wild Talk chat room or the OWW Radio chat area. Spunk is still with us here. He's enjoying, I think, his third carton of cigarettes. We want to thank Bruno Sassy for being with us just then. That was another amazing interview, as Jim Rome would say, epic, legendary. Our next 3 weeks are actually booked on this show. So I'm going to take a minute or two to mention some folks that are going to be on. I got 3 weeks in a row booked, including...
I have a job for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, man, we got a job. We don't have to worry about any competition that's coming against us, be it a... I'm not going to mention names because I look online and I go, wow, there's like shows on opposite us. And Bruno just said, I don't care what these other people have got. I can say right now, these next weeks are actually locked in. Next week, in addition to Spug, if he's here, if Mace is here, anybody can be here. To come in before the guest himself, this guy could be a guest. One of my first guests is going to contribute is, he was a groomsman in my wedding. That's how I got him. No, I didn't get him from another Mayhem or a Mantra or anywhere else, in case that guy's listening and going, you're stealing my people. No, I've known this guy since 2003 when he actually walked up to me at a TNA Asylum event. Scott Hudson will be here next week to break down some TNA, WWE, and talk the industry as well. The guest, in addition to him, I feel like Don West pubbing some stuff for TNA Wrestling, dude. In addition to him, we've talked about Trent Acid on this show. We talked about the Acid Fest, which you can go to rvideo.com and buy that show right now. It was an awesome event. We are going to have, I'm not sure if this is one of his first interviews on the topic, we have got his tag team partner in the Backseat Boys, Johnny Kazmir, will be here next week, barring his life having scheduling issues. So that's the show for the 27th. Now, on August 3rd, I heard there's friends and great places that are being involved, and they bash the guests every chance they get. Well, what the heck is that noise?
My fan, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was scratching my chin.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm working on someone for the August 3rd show, but I can say right now, we do have somebody, well, the show is going to be legendary. It's going to be vintage Online World of Wrestling Radio, because I do have a guest that we are working on, but I'm not going to put that person's name out there just yet. I will say, however, if you've been watching MTV2 Friday nights at 10 p.m., we will have on this show the executive producers and some of the stars of Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. On the show, we're hoping to get, thanks to them folks, co-producers, we may actually have the gentleman that's on the program currently under the stage name of Marco Corleone. If you're a fan of WCW, you knew him better as one of the partners of the Natural Born Thrillers. Yes, Mark Jindrak, unless something changes, will be here. And if that's not enough, the week after him, we've got former, as I said, all this is tentative. Card is subject to change without notice, as I always like to put on the end of my releases when I send them out to websites, and I thank them for letting me be honored to be sending them stuff since 2002, and they keep posting it, man, so I must be doing something right. Former WCW, WWE, he's been everywhere. He's traveled overseas. He's actually got a school that he's opened in Georgia. Unless something changes, the show after that, I believe it's August 10th, we'll have Bill DeMott here.
Hugh Morris?
Yes, he will be here. He's got
a new endeavor
coming around. I believe the group is called New Focus Wrestling. I could be wrong in the title there. Let me just triple check it because I got it typed out somewhere here. Oh, New Energy Wrestling. I'm sorry. His wife, Lacey, has been great in helping us out with getting that involved. And, yeah, next week is a non-pay-per-view week, I'm very happy to say. So if you're listening to us now, mark your calendars. The next 3 weeks, unless something changes, next week, Johnny Casimir of the Backseat Boys will be involved. Scott Hudson will be here the week after that. We do have a legendary guest possibly in the works, who could probably go as long as Tatanka did tonight. I'm just sitting there going, I love my job, because I just asked a question and he went.
That dude was awesome.
Amazing to have him on here. And definitely to prep yourselves in 2 weeks when we have the folks of Lucha Libre USA on, get it in your DVR now. After you're done, if you're on the Eastern Seaboard and you're watching SmackDown on the East Coast at 10 o'clock, get your remote, switch over to MTV2, because if you're not watching these guys, you need to change your mind, because I'm sure everybody's sitting there going, oh, it's Wrestling Society X all over again, and we had Kevin Kleinrock on a few weeks ago to talk about his experience with MTV, and these guys look like they're here to stay. They're coming on also to pub and event they're going to have at the Thomas and Mack Center, I believe it's August 7th in Las Vegas. They'll be doing a taping for their event. So hopefully you come and check all those shows out. And we are available on the clickwrestle.com site for podcasting. You can also find us on iTunes, which is usually in the releases that we send out. I don't have the exact way to find us there. And, yeah, like other networks, we're friends on this network. I'm graced every week that I get someone from WrestleTalk Radio on Sunday nights here, be it Spug, be it Mace, be it Tim Stein, like we had a couple weeks ago. Will and Omega are part of that show as well. They're on 10 p.m. Eastern, barring a WWE or TNA pay-per-view. Then they're on at 11 o'clock like we've been the last couple weeks. Tomorrow night is the Geek Fest, as some people would call it. Otaku Talk Radio with the gentleman who's with us right now.
Get it right. Otaku Talk Live.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I will take my beating from your nation of people that rule the world. The geeks rule the world. Nobody ever believes it. Ask Bill Gates.
Come here.
Yes. They're on Wednesdays, 9 o'clock. He is joined by Mace. He is joined by Omega. Coming back in August due to her Blonde Ambition tour, Cindy Sin is not available this Thursday to be a part of Anything Goes, but she'll be coming back next month. You also have, if you like wrestling talk, Maverick has a show called Running the Ropes, which is on Fridays at 6 o'clock. And the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks, and our friend Sir Rockin' do a neat show called CB Radio, which is also midnight-ish. And if you've been a friend of ours on Facebook, like us at Wild Talk Radio for the production side. You can like us at Online World of Wrestling - OWW Radio, and then there's tons of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com stuff there. DJ Stein has been hitting the airwaves in this very chat room. If you've been listening to WildTalk.com, WildTalkRadio.com, he has turned himself, Tim Stein has turned into DJ Stein on the wheels of steel, mixing it up, so to speak, for everybody. So definitely check them out. And as usual, I have to thank the big kahunas. I have to thank Brad Dykens and Jason Didrich that each and every single week they bless me by saying, you want to do a show again? Sure. All right. You got as long as you want to talk. Don't screw it up. It's like, okay. So I thank them. I thank Spug for being with me tonight. Sir Rockin' for being with us tonight. Sarah and Ari Dygan, don't forget, In This Very Ring is their blog. You can look it up in Bing or Google or whatever your search engine preference is. NativeTatanka.com, you must check this man's site out. It is, no joke, one of the best personal websites I've ever seen. He is this Saturday taking on Doc Rivers for CCW. CCW.ms is the way to go for them. And we're letting he wanted Depeche Mode, so he's getting Depeche Mode, just not the song you want. You're not getting the song you wanted.
Why not?
Because this is my show, sucker, and I like World in My Eyes. We've been playing, we will play Personal Jesus at some point, but right now,
son of a.
Hey, World in My Eyes is actually my wife's favorite Depeche Mode song because she is the world in my eyes and is my kids as well. So, on behalf of everyone in Online World of Wrestling Radio, thanks for braving 3.5 hours with us. I swear I'm getting this. I feel like Paul Thomas Anderson, the director, going, yeah, after Boogie Nights, I'm going to do a real small 90-minute film, and here's Magnolia. So check us out next week. Barring any damage to the world, Johnny Casimir, Scott Hudson will join us. Thanks for joining us. Have a good night.